see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight.
Not that you ever need an excuse to play more Bruce Springsteen, but there is a reason why we've been playing more the last couple of days here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on 77 WABC, and that's because coming up this Friday, it's the big Bernie and Sid tribute show to the Boss, who is wrapping up his very, very successful stint on Broadway this week. Netflix special coming out, going to be huge for Bruce. And we've been over the political stuff time and time again. Doesn't matter. Whether you like Bon Jovi or more or not, doesn't matter. Bruce Springsteen is one of the greatest of all time, has been now for four or five decades. And Friday, we're going to celebrate the great Bruce Springsteen right here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Give me some more of this crash. Come on. This, of course, the album he put together right after the devastation of 9/11. Bunch of great songs on that album. So we'll do some Bruce coming up on Friday. Anyway, good morning, Bernard. How are you, buddy?
Could be a lot worse, Sidney. Could be a lot worse. It's beautiful. Michael,
when you say could be a lot worse, give me an example of how that would be the case.
Could be in a wheelchair.
That's true.
I could be
stupid.
I could be getting yelled at by Imus right now.
It always goes back to
it. It doesn't always, but you know, you put me on the spot here.
No, but lately it has.
That's just a stock phrase that I use. Yeah. It could be worse, and it really could.
Well, I celebrate your bravado because you had been, for months and months, you kind of kept the whole Imus thing quiet, but it's leaking out now.
It's, nothing's leaking out. Mm-hmm. Nothing leaking. Is leaking out
30
at
years
all.
Of horror for you.
No, 30 years of a great opportunity. I mean, with a lot of speed bumps.
Yeah, a lot of speed bumps.
And, you know,
I do get asked.
Psychological warfare, but otherwise, it was great.
I do get asked often, and I wonder if you do too. Hey, you ever talk to Imus anymore?
I do get that.
Me too. Yeah.
I do, and...
And?
The answer's no.
No.
No, it's over.
He doesn't even email you nothing anymore? Nothing?
He emailed me a happy birthday.
Right, right.
Even though my birthday's not till January 1st. Right. But he did. And that was that.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So no, all contact. The last thing I wrote to him was, thanks.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Well, no Christmas card this year?
Yeah. He's not going to get back to you because Rob Bartlett and a few other people, I'm convinced of this. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm convinced that Rob and a few other people, and Rob's mad at us because we don't put him back on to promote his...
Is he mad?
I think so. And I'm convinced he goes back to Imus and says, you know, those two guys, they take shots at you all the time. You would think they'd be more appreciative after all the years and blah, blah, blah. I'm convinced that Rob and a few others go back to Imus and tell him these types of things.
We don't take shots, though.
No.
We make a dig, a joke, or something like that.
That's all. Right.
I guarantee you, we do not take shots.
No
you'll
shots.
You'll know if we're taking shots.
Yeah.
No, you'll know. with this, I mean, what are you supposed to do? We spent our formative years with the man, and once in a while, his name pops up. I mean, what can I tell
more
you?
More and more lately, I noticed.
I get like this. I get, do you miss Imus? And my response is often, does Elizabeth Smart miss her abductors? That's a joke. They'll go back, run. Rob will run back.
Right.
Well, jokes have truth to them, though.
Well, listen, they're 100% truth.
Look, it got
but it's still funny the way he phrases it.
Of course.
Yeah.
It got my kids, my family, a nice house. The kids went through college, had a great life.
Yeah.
No, it was all all's well that ends well, and now I'm sitting here with you. So
the torture was worth it.
We don't look. Nobody loves 100% their jobs.
I do.
Or their situation.
I love you. I honestly, if I ever left you guys, I would actually miss you, and because I actually like working with you.
That is so sweet.
But it's true.
Now we're going to have to give her a Christmas bonus.
Oh, God. Jennifer Grodd asked me about that yesterday.
What? Jennifer Grodd?
I misgave her $1,000 last year.
What?
I'm like, we're going to give you a gift certificate for a ham this year. Does that work for you? Especially because she's kosher.
A ham and a couple of, we'll give her a box of Keurig coffee.
There you go. That's it. That's your bonus. That's it.
She's not going to get what
you know. It's we already talked about, Sid and I, about giving Matt, Meany, and Jill.
That's it.
A bonus. I never even thought of Jennifer Grodd.
Yeah, but she does work for the show, so.
Well, she works for the station.
Oh, well, I guess that just lowers Jill and Matt's.
Right. Like, we have a certain dollar figure in mind. We're not going to exceed that.
No.
So now she's going to eat into your bonus, Jill.
No, listen.
Take it up with her.
She works for the station. She does Curtis and Rita as well.
Oh.
So she doesn't do that much for the show.
Oh. Not that much for the show.
Give me and Matt more.
Throwing her under the bus.
Did you get the license plate that bus?
And then Crash, like today he's filling in because Meany does take some time off, and deservedly so. Meany does a tremendous job. So Crash is in today, and he's in relatively often.
That's true.
He's going to want some, but he's easy to please. We'll get him a, you know, figure out, give certificate to Wendy's or Big Boys, he'll be done. That'll be it.
That's no problem. just get him a large pie. What do you like on it, Mike?
I know my place in the pecking order. I'm not getting the pie this year. I know.
He speaks slightly slower. And maybe
I know my place in the pecking order. This is the first year I'm getting a bonus. A pie. Wow.
A pie with your choice of toppings.
It's very nice.
The fork.
Just take it
the
and
fork,
be quiet.
Yeah.
The fork. Just take it.
Okay, de Blasio.
Right.
Hair.
All right, so listen. So yesterday we did basically a whole show. A great guest. I mean, Jody Sweetin from Full House and Fuller House was terrific.
She gave you guys props on her Instagram, and she has almost 2 million followers, except she put KABC.
Right, she put the Los Angeles station in.
KABC.
Yeah, so no bonus for her.
Instead of WABC. But
She did a lot of drugs, right?
She did, yeah. But she was great.
Slack?
She was great.
She really was a sweetheart. And she exceeded my expectations, actually. She was a terrific guest.
She was. But the theme of the show basically was gratitude. And I'm sitting at home last night, and, you know, sometimes, you know, I never remember. Like, once the show is over, a minute after the show, I forget a lot of stuff that happened, you know. People will remind me at the gym, on the street, and I'm like, really? Did we do that?
You and me both, man. Sometimes I'm like, who the hell did we have on this morning?
Right, right. So I'm sitting there, but I did have that gratitude thing in my head all day yesterday.
Good, good, good. I'm glad I was able to instill that.
Well, you were, but then I sat down and watched
what?
Donald Trump, Michael Pence, sitting there with Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and the gratitude thing went right out the door. I was right back to getting angry and everybody hates each other. There is no gratitude. There is no peace on earth. Really, we just live in a society today where et tu, Brute, could be used every single day.
What?
Every day. What?
Creme brulee? What the hell is that?
No, et tu. That's good. That's a good use of Shakespeare that you just employed.
That's right. You know, from Hamlet. You remember Jill, right?
I do not. Mm-hmm. Not. But what does it mean?
Actually, it was Julius Caesar.
No kidding.
Listen. So, I mean, I watched that, and I thought it was good theater.
It was great television. Great.
It was, and just coincidentally, you know, the man who I wanted to win, I believe, he prevailed.
I don't know about
I think
that.
He kicked their ass.
I don't know.
I mean, Schmuck Schumer, as you even tweeted, they wouldn't even look into Trump's eyes.
Chuck never looked at him. She looked at him once or twice. That was it. They came off as very cowardly. Mm-hmm. They were very, very tough, of course, at the press conference afterwards in front of the mics. And Nancy Pelosi questioning Donald Trump's manhood, which is garbage. I mean, she had some really nasty things to say. Look, they are two of the most despicable, unlikable people I've ever seen in politics in my life. But for me, and believe me, I'm rooting for Trump. I don't have a clear-cut winner for yesterday, because if Trump really does shut down the government because he doesn't get $5 billion for this stupid wall, then he doesn't really win. I mean, the way I saw it yesterday was there were no winners. He was being petulant. They were being petulant. It was a bunch of crybabies, except for Mike Pence, who sat there and did nothing.
I'll give you a couple of examples. Pelosi said, well, you have the votes. You have the Republican House. You have the Senate. And well, no, he does. And he pointed out accurately, we don't have the votes. You need 60 votes in the Senate.
Right.
Shut up. Checkmate on that. And also, she's complaining about, well, the cameras are on. The cameras are on. And he's like, well, what's wrong with transparency?
Right.
He won on that. And then when it came down to who's going to take the, quote, blame for shutting down the wall, he says he did. He took the high road.
I saw that. I take
said,
the blame.
I'll take the blame. Yeah. And by the way, the wall is obviously, in the wake of the chaos you see at the border, is something you need. It's something
I don't
that
know
we
if you need
get desperate.
I don't know.
You have the 70-80% of the drugs coming into this country. The opioid. Everybody talks about the opioid crisis. They're coming through that porous border.
Listen, I'm all for limiting the amount of people coming in. I'm not for open borders, but I'm not sure that giving him $5 billion for this wall is prudent either. I'm really not. And again, I still believe that, yes, you pointed out some spots where he did okay, but when he says, I'm going to shut down the government, if I don't get the money from you or the military, to me, he comes off very petulant. Very.
He's trying to make a deal. They had this deal back in February where they were actually... They offered up $25 billion in exchange. And remember, he gave them the DACA deal, which was going to legalize a bunch of kids who were born here to illegal parents. Twice as many, more than twice as many as they were initially, as much as they initially wanted. And then just because he was going to get a win on it, they decided they weren't going to vote for it. Took it away from him. So now we're down to $5 billion. The wall is absolutely necessary. That nobody comes up with any other. If you don't want a wall, then how do you propose to secure that border?
I don't know. But $5 billion seems like a lot of money. That's just me.
Not compared to the social costs of allowing those people in, including, I mean, I had a guy rape a girl up in Freeport. I told you about that. Many other gang members chopping up a young Latinos in Long Island. I don't know what's going on all across the country. Compared to the cost of that, the $5 billion is well worth it.
All right, now listen, Crash, one thing that Meany does a really good job of, which you don't, quite frankly, is when we start to wind down the segment.
Take away the toppings from the lunch pizza.
He does a very good job of playing a good song as out music. This way, it sounds good, the fans and listeners like it, and it kind of gives me and Bernie an indication that it's time to kind of wind down and get to break. Do you get all that?
Yeah.
Play a song, Fatso. By the way, coming up in about 10 minutes, Anthony Scaramucci is back. Spent about 3 weeks on a cruise. We haven't heard from the Mooch. He'll join us in about 10 minutes.
For a while there, we thought it was the Achilles Laurel. That's how worried we were.
Hey, who was the guy, Jill, that was actually thrown off the Achilles Laurel? Thrown off the boat.
And he was
in a wheelchair.
In a wheelchair, yeah. It was actually flung off.
If you get this, I will give oral to Crash in front of Macy's after the show.
Stephen Hawking?
Thank God.
No, it was Larry King.
Was it really?
No, it was Leon Klinghoffer.
Yeah, Leon. Yeah. And he didn't make it. They didn't get him. They didn't retrieve him.
No. 805, Sheriff David Clark. You know what's funny? We have these stupid stats, which, you know, like they poll like 11 people. And program directors and station managers, they use that to try to indicate how well we're doing with certain segments. It's really complete nonsense. But we yes Craig Schwab to death. Anyway, I hope he's listening. Sheriff David Clark, for some reason, gets like 12 listeners as opposed to 8. So he's on today because he's a big ratings guy.
That's right.
And then there's a lady, Ellen Karras, who performed at the Bernie and Sid Night of Comedy, is coming back today.
Good. She was very, very entertaining, funny, and she's a nice lady.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We talk Trump, Pelosi, Schumer, all that good stuff with Scaramucci. Plus, the phones are open. Bernie and Sid back on a hump day right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
Hello, I'm Juliet. Happy hump day. He is married to the stunning actress Lisa Bonet. He has equally stunning children. He's the star of the new film Aquaman. Jason Momoa is living a charmed life. But if you need any more proof that this guy is the real superhero deal, He's also a metal fan. God love him. In fact, he says his Aquaman character was inspired by three metal groups, LA alt metal band Tool, Black Sabbath, and, well, of course, Metallica. Momoa telling Metal Hammer magazine that, in fact, he often uses metal songs as his character inspiration. And more Momoa news, because why not? Momoa says his trip to New York to host Saturday Night Live recently was what he calls the time that he saw the shift. He says he was going through customs and people were staring and turning their heads. He says it's starting to happen a lot more these days. He says he respects his fans, and the only time you can guarantee he is going to be a first-class a-hole, as he says, is if you catch him with his kids. He says he doesn't see them enough as it is, and though he's happy to stop for pics with fans, he makes an exception when his kids are around. Aquaman opens a week from Friday. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
So today, folks, is day three of the 4 days of winter meetings at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas for baseball. And if you're paying any attention to it, I think most of you guys are, and this is right up Scaramucci's alley. He's going to join us momentarily. He'll talk about Pelosi and Schumer and all that good stuff. But there's this rumor, which is never going to happen, that involves a trade where the Mets would get Marlins catcher J.T. Realmuto. The Yankees would get Mets starter Noah Syndergaard. And the Marlins would get somebody, I don't know, but
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. It compelled me to put a tweet up yesterday, at Sid Rosenberg and at Bernie and Sid. And it says, I'd love to see Realmuto with the Mets, but there's no way I'm trading Noah Syndergaard. In fact, I'm not trading Thor for any player. I want him and DeGrom at the top of our rotation. Would you trade Syndergaard? I can tell you, Bernie, hundreds and hundreds of people voted on this online. And 52% said they would not trade Syndergaard for anyone. Now, Mooch, of course, is part owner of the Mets. He did, him and his lovely wife, Deirdre, did a great interview with David Wright on the podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
It was really good, Bern, really good.
The podcast, which is called?
Mr. and Mrs. The Mooch and the Mrs.
That's right.
The Mooch and the Mrs. So before we get to Pelosi and Schumer and Chief of Staff, all that good stuff, we'll go right to the source. Anthony Scaramucci, first of all, good morning. And secondly, is there any way you want to see Brody Van Wagenen trade Noah Syndergaard?
Well, first of all, it's great to be back on the show. I've been eating my way across the Caribbean, so I'm a lot larger. I came back a lot bigger of a person, unfortunately. But here's what I would say. I get in trouble with the Mets because I own a tiny sliver, and they don't like when they're – people that own tiny slivers comment, but I am a sports enthusiast and a big fan, so I'm going to comment anyway. Okay, I don't know the situation as it relates to each player in the Mets' eyes, their longevity, but I'd like to see Noah stay on the team because he's a great player, and I think if you're going to get to the World Series, and I do admire the new GM, I think he's making bold risk-taking moves. And so for me, guys, I love taking risk, and I think he's got, you know, good pitching. So he's looking at that saying, okay, if I get a closer and a couple of bats, I might be able to get this team into the playoffs and push it to the World Series. So, but I think you need a guy like Syndergaard, you know, and by the way, you have to remember, you know, that is a dead field for some reason. You bring players in there, very hard to hit home runs, very hard to get your average up. It's not like you're playing at the stadium in Colorado, you know, where the Rockies play. And so for me, you need pitching in a field like that at Citi Field.
Anthony Scaramucci on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC Radio. Anthony, it is good to have you back. And, of course, the big news down from Washington, D.C. is a man you've had your problems with, John Kelly. He's on his way out, the White House Chief of Staff. And just looking forward, is there any possibility – any possibility that Anthony Scaramucci would fill his shoes in that position?
Well, okay, so Sid, I think, knows my wife better than you do, Bern. Okay. If I don't want to get castrated, let's say, you know, partially castrated, which would be worse for any Italian-American that you know, you know, I have to answer no to that, you know, but I don't think the president would ask me to do that job. I, in fact, in my self-evaluation, I'm not a politician, and I don't have those nasty political skills. Okay, you see, you see the way these guys operate. They're coming into the White House. They're trying to pin him. This is how Trump shrunk down and blah, 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 and all this sort of nonsense that the American people are so tired of. I think he needs a political operator. If he doesn't hire a political operator, he better hire an A-plus player that hires A-plus-plus players. You know, one of the problems of Priebus, he was like a C player hiring D players. I don't want to say much more about John Kelly because, you know, I don't want to dance on anybody's grave. You know, the guy was a military, 40 years in the military. God bless his service. As I said to you guys 6 months ago, he didn't have the right personality for that job working with that president. So for me, it was a talent assessment and a talent evaluation. You know, which frankly, I built two reasonably successful companies. I have a pretty good eye for what works and how personalities can work together and what doesn't.
Deirdre would kill you, though. There's no question about it. You started right there, Anthony. You nailed it. The great Anthony Scaramucci.
There's no question. Oh, you know, yeah. Boar's Head cold cuts. Okay? The first place you would go is to the Manhasset Deli to steal their bologna slicer.
Let them hang from the window.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no question.
Right, but some of these names that he is talking about, Mark Meadows, he really, really likes him out of North Carolina, former campaign advisor, now a guy touring the country with Corey Lewandowski, talking about David Bossie. His name has been mentioned. Robert Lighthizer has been mentioned. And, of course, one of our favorites out of New Jersey, Chris Christie. You think one of these four get in, or you think there's a secret name out there, a wild card that may shock all of us?
Well, did you mention Randy Levine? Have you seen his name up in the up in the rafters there?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Anthony, because only on day five, when Bernie and I took over for Imus back in April, day five of our morning show, we, in fact, had the president himself, Donald Trump, on this show. And I asked him if he had two tickets for a Met game in Queens or a Yankee game in the Bronx on the same day, which game would he go to? And when I asked him that, he actually brought up the name Randy Levine. Take a listen. This is Donald Trump on our show back in April.
It's opening day in New York. The weather's lousy. It's still going. But you've got tickets, box seats, to both the Mets and the Yankees. Where does Donald Trump end up, in the Bronx or in Queens?
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble, but I think both teams, because, you know, I know even the players, okay, in a lot of cases, because, you know, I'm a baseball fan, and I like both teams. Randy is so great. Will Pons are really good people, and so don't put me in that position, fellas. Okay?
No, you see what he already said there? You can stop the question. Yes. He said Randy is so great. You heard that, Mooch.
Yeah. No, he loves Randy. You know, look, you know, the week before I started in my comms job, Randy was down there. He was in the Oval Office. I was over at the XM Bank, and Randy and I called each other. Here's the thing: the president needs. The president needs a guy from New York or a New York style guy that will recognize and yield to him that he's the boss, but will also say, hey, you know, let's really look at this thing clinically, objectively. Not be a sycophant, guys. You know, everyone dismissed Nomer that Trump likes sycophants or President Trump likes sycophants. Not true. He just doesn't want you to rule over him. He wants you to recognize that he's the boss. You know, I two chiefs of staffs, they either felt superior to him in one case or felt they had a better reputation to him and all that other nonsense. He's President of the United States. He won the job, prosecute his agenda, hire people loyal to him. Not to you or to your establishment agenda.
Right. Listen, Anthony Scaramucci, let's segue over to the Oval Office or wherever that was. Where was that? In the Oval Office?
Yeah, no, yes. You had him in the Oval Office.
Okay, you had crying Chuck.
If you told me Randy got that job, it would settle down the president. You know, but I think Randy's got a great life. You know, he's sitting in Hal Steinbrenner's box, and he's probably going to go to the World Series this year. So
right.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Call Randy and say, please, if you take that job, see if you can get Mooch the president of the Yankees.
Okay? Let's move on, Anthony.
Right, I'll give them Syndergaard for that. How's that?
I like that part. Keep Syndergaard, right, that's for sure.
My fellow Met fans, I take that back, okay? I've had 50 years of pain with you. I'm just making a joke. Here, okay?
Keep Thor.
I like pain.
So here we go. Yeah. We had Tipsy Pelosi and the crying Chuck in the Oval Office yesterday. And what I saw, and of course I'm biased, I saw a couple of weasels who were very uncomfortable and shifty being on camera talking about some serious business. A couple of guys
bad body language.
They were for the wall and they were for secure borders 10 years ago, and now you have this radical left wing part of the party that they're deathly afraid of. They're crapping their pants over this part of the party, so they don't really want a secure border. They really don't. And anyway, I thought that he was good. He performed well. And they did not acquit themselves very well. What did Anthony Scaramucci see?
Well, I mean, I saw a number of different things there. You know, the first thing I would say is that, you know, he's going to shut down the government, because I know the guy's personality. So it'll be a partial government shutdown. Kevin McCarthy said that a few pieces that have been funded, so things will go okay. But it'll put a lot more pain on the Democrats than it will on Republicans. And I think
it will.
What they're missing, I think so, because I think what they're missing is that the border is helping the economy, and the border is helping lower and middle-class people with their wages. The president's tightening of the border and the reduction of the illegal immigration has caused the tightening, took all the slack out of the African-American and Hispanic-American labor markets, made them the lowest in recorded history, and you've seen a wage boost for the bottom 10% of our country, and that's a result of what's going on at the border, as well as stronger economy. And so I think you're making a very big mistake there. But this is what these guys do. The Democrats have decided that blue collar people now are deplorable, and they're white ethnocentric racists and nationalists, and all of this other stuff. And I know the dolphin's choking on the plastic straw, and I feel bad about that. But you guys should probably go back to your base and focus on these people that we grew up with, fellas. And stop talking to them like that, and recognize that we've got to tighten up that border. If you're going to run a welfare state, which the United States does, tighten the border. Otherwise, free market forces dictate people are going to run across the border.
Yeah,
fair enough. If you just enjoyed Mooch with us, by the way, you can check out Anthony Scaramucci in about 15 minutes on Channel 5 here in New York. He's at the Fox 5 studios right now getting ready to go on television. We missed you, buddy. It's great to have you back.
I'm very happy to be back.
Getting lipo.
Getting lipo right now. And I don't need a lot of bronzer, though, because I just got back from the Caribbean. And I'm getting lipo right now.
Well, it's good to have you back, Anthony. You're great as always. Right. A wonderful guest and a good friend. Thank you so much.
And no regrets.
All right, God bless.
All right, take care. The great Anthony Scaramucci, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Some of you calling in want to talk about this thing yesterday. You know where we're coming from. Bernie thinks the president acquitted himself well. I don't. I think both sides looked awful. I can't stand Schumer and Pelosi. I'm not going to side with them. But I also thought Donald Trump came off as a petulant baby, and nobody wins yesterday. And if he shuts down the government, certainly nobody wins. So that's our opinion. We'll take your phone calls right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
You want to shut it down. You keep talking about it.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
And then you opened it up very quickly. And
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times, Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have said it.
You want to know something?
You've said
it. Okay, you want to put that
on
my...
You said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
There's some of the back and forth from the Oval Office yesterday. Senator Chuck Schumer and the President of the United States, Donald Trump. And regardless of whether you agree with me or Bernie, we both agree, Bernie and I, that it was great theater and great television yesterday. These are two idiots, Pelosi and Schumer, going up against Trump. And, I guess Pence was there, but he didn't do much.
Pence should have had a beer in his hand.
I mean, seriously.
He was just a spectator.
And his pants should have been, like, by his ankles, maybe. Would have been funny. Maybe watching porn on his phone. Here is Paul is in Levittown. He's on line 4 this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Sid, Bernie. Great show, guys. Congrats on your success.
Thank you, Paul.
Sid, this is totally you. You said $5 billion. Yeah. It's a lot of money. Think about it. We just gave Amazon $3 billion to put the headquarters in Queens without any, you know, talking about it or anything. So if you compare the both.
And that's a state.
You know, yeah, what's going to give you better economic growth, the border or the Amazon that's going to be already opening in
that's fair. That's very fair. Very good point, Paul. You're right. $3 billion Amazon, $5 billion for the wall. I'm okay with the wall. I don't wake up every day like Ann Coulter grading Trump's presidency on the wall. I don't. And I don't want open borders. All I'm saying is
I didn't love the way Trump handled business yesterday. I know, Bernie, you did. I didn't. You know, listen, sometimes situations, you have a winner and a loser. Not all the time. Sometimes, believe it or not, in a confrontation, you can have two winners, Rocky and Apollo Creed. And sometimes you can have two losers. I thought nobody won yesterday. I always think Schumer and Pelosi are a bunch of idiots, always, no matter what they're doing. And I thought Trump came off as a petulant baby. I'm taking my ball. I'm going home. I'm shutting things down. So that's all I'm saying. You want the wall? Fine.
Well, what he did was, I believe, is what he agreed to take responsibility for the shut. He said, okay, I'll take the heat. I'll take the blame. I'll admit
what?
It.
So
for,
what?
For shutting down a government, because there's supposedly a lot of negative blowback for the person. That's why Chuck Schumer denied that he was the guy who shut down the wall last time.
I know.
So Trump said, okay, I'll take the heat for it, but I got to get this the border secured, especially in the wake of what we saw. And again, not to be repetitive, but the cost of these impoverished poor people coming in here and some of the criminals and the drugs coming across, that cost pales in comparison to the $5 billion we're going to spend.
I mean,
that cost is enormous.
We'll take one more call here. Saul is in Brooklyn, and we'll go to a top of the hour break. Good morning, Saul.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick thought. Good morning, guys. I think it's actually connected to the chief of staff thing, where people think that, oh, Trump needs to have a guy who's going to babysit him because he's a baby, he's an idiot, and whatever. I think yesterday was amazing. I think it was wonderful. I think he did a great job. Because if he would have been in private, honestly, they would have misconstrued whatever came out. Right now, it came out. He's great at negotiating. What came out last night was he's willing to be serious about border security. They're not. He's willing to step up and stuff. They're not. And Schumer's like, oh, you're going to shut down the wall if nobody wants. He's allowed to. He's the president of the United States. He can put his desires and his agenda in front of Chuck Schumer. If Chuck Schumer wants to have the agenda, he should win the Senate or win the presidency. And that's all it boils down to. Trump is not a baby. He's an adult. Does he act idiotic sometimes? Yes. Mike Pence yesterday was all of America with his eyes closed. Lord, how did I get in here? But to be honest, I see nothing wrong with what he did. He made Schumer and Pelosi look even stupider than him.
All right, very good, Saul. Listen, we're out of time, man. Listen, thanks for that. I did like the part that Pelosi didn't want the cameras on. I mean, I thought that was the most telling. Hey, we don't want to do this in public. And Trump called, hey, well, we want transparency. Everybody wants to see what's going on. But that said, Sydney, hour one in the books.
In the books.
And we have another good guest coming up a little bit later on, Sheriff David Clark.
He'll be good with this. We've also got a very funny lady, Ellen Karras, and we'll get to some fun stuff as well. So stick around. Hour two of Bernie and Sid on a hump day Wednesday, right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. From
how are you going to follow this show when you can no longer hear me on, when you can no longer hear me on that station owing to the brilliant genius who runs it?
No, I've been told that you're not even going to be available on the radio.
No. That's because I've been number one on the station for too many years with conservative views. That doesn't apparently fit the program director's view of what ABC should be doing in the future. But how are you going to follow the show?
I don't know. I'm so upset about it. I've been listening to you. I go back to Bob Grant, the father of talk radio.
No, I am the voice of talk radio in New York. Everybody knows that. Forget the guy with the red hat. Okay, forget that dunce. We're talking about me. I am New York.
A dunce.
You're not a big fan of Curtis Sliwa. That was from yesterday's Michael Savage show. Welcome back, hour number two of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here on 77 WABC. Sheriff David Clark is going to stop by. He's always very good. Comedian Ellen Karras, she's hilarious. She'll be here, and sometime in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to replay the interview we did with Anthony Scaramucci last hour, where we discussed everything from the Mets, Noah Syndergaard, White House Chief of Staff, to the circus that took place between Schumer, Pelosi, Trump, and Pence in the Oval Office yesterday. All that coming your way, plus a lot of news, the Brexit chaos in England, the terrorist attack in France, the mom released from Rikers Island here in New York yesterday. But Mike Savage is gone. He'll be gone after the first. We are moving in a different direction here at WABC. And then Michael talks a lot about his ratings, and he does get good ratings. What Michael always fails to mention is his ratings don't mean anything. What ratings are, folks, they're a sales tool. So when you've got good ratings, salespeople go to these agencies and they go to these prospective clients and they go, listen, Savage has great ratings. All it is a sales tool. Well, the truth is we can't sell Michael Savage. He's 1,300 miles away. He talks about Trump all day, which has been statistically proven. Some of the biggest names in the country have lost as much as 55% of their audience over the last year with incessant Trump talk. Incessant, I should say. So Michael Savage can talk all he wants about the ratings. If you can't sell them, ratings mean nothing. And that is the issue, and that's why we're moving on. And I love Mike, and so do you. We love him. He's a great listener.
I think he's a great talent, and he does digress occasionally into what he had for dinner last night, stuff like that. He tells a good raconteur is what he is.
Not enough of that, though. But I love that stuff.
I haven't listened much recently, but yes, they're going to replace him with a guy who is pretty much politically in lockstep with Michael Savage. As a matter of fact, Ben Shapiro is the guy they're replacing him with. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. That's all you can say, because there's going to be some other changes. Very exciting stuff about to go down here at 77 WABC for the new year. I think a lot of folks are going to love what's coming their way in 2019. But, yeah, Shapiro, we can talk about. That's been made public.
But he's just really, I guess, a more sanitized version, a more sane version than of Michael Savage. I mean, he hates the fact that abortion is legal. He's going to be the keynote speaker, believe it or not, at the March for Life coming up this January. They have it annually. They have they get hundreds of thousands of people. Ugh. You never see it in the media. But anyway, I'm just giving you an idea of where he's coming from politically.
I don't like that at all.
But that's where he's coming from. So he's again in lockstep politically with Savage. He's just younger. He's more likable. And I recall, I don't know if you remember, when Savage was on MSNBC, they put him on back in the day. I mean, it seems inconceivable that a Michael Savage would be on MSNBC, but he was. Yeah. And so was Curtis and Kobe, by the way, for a little while. And, of course, the Imus in the Morning Show for many, many years. But Michael Savage lasted for about, I think, a month. he took live calls, and some guy called, and he was arguing him about some gay issue. And then he says, "I hope you die from AIDS."
Oh God!
He screamed at the guy.
I love that.
And that was the end.
That was the end.
That was the. He got booted. Were you
kidding
me?
Oh my God! He should have gotten a raise. That's brilliant.
I don't know about that.
I think it's great. I think it's great. That's why I like Michael Savage. But again,
but we don't want anybody to die from AIDS. But
no, that's not true. Oh God! That you speak for yourself, okay? Don't say we.
There are some really bad people we want to
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, we want, murderers let's and... see, yes, we would like to see...
Don't name any people. This is where we get into trouble.
No, the guy Steinberg who killed his daughter.
Joel Steinberg. Isn't he dead already?
Yeah, we would like people like that.
They should die. Right, there you go.
Right.
Yeah. But, I like Mike Savage. I feel bad, but it is what it is. So he hates Craig Schwab, the program director. He despises Curtis Sliwa. You know, he went on an all-out attack yesterday on this station, and he conveniently left us out because he likes us. He was mad at us last year because we got Trump and he didn't, and he kind of joked, but he wasn't joking.
No, he was definitely jealous
and
upset. And by the way, he was, within the past week, he was down there in the Oval Office taking pictures, which is where I'm going to be at some point soon.
Yeah,
I'm going to take advantage of that very soon.
Yeah, when?
I don't know when.
I'm a little tired of seeing Lionel in the Oval Office, Michael Savage in the Oval Office. You're his boy. He's on with us.
Right.
You don't get anywhere near Washington, D.C.
I just haven't cashed that chip yet. That's all.
No, but you don't have it anymore because you had one chip and you decided to have him come on this radio show instead.
That's very insightful of you. That is... he did...
That is
one way for him to pay me back, but I still have that chip. I have an open invitation.
Yeah.
He says, anytime.
I emailed the White House.
And
they never get back.
I'm going to get down there. What you should do is try to get us officially so we could do a broadcast.
I did, yeah.
From the White House. But I'm going to go down there personally.
Okay, you can go.
And
you can stand outside with the rest of the people.
No, I mean,
outside the gates.
He's going to show me around the Oval Office.
Oh, sure he is.
Remember you called me?
Right. I'll have a Big Mac with him.
Sure, a little Foster's Lager.
No, look, he
smoke a dube with the president outside by the Rose Garden.
Wait, you don't think that's going to happen?
Of course it's not going to happen.
Why won't it happen?
I know. Here we go again. You see, I've got a million friends.
Why? Tell me why.
Because
he invited me, and I'm going to take him up on it.
Go home to mommy.
He's a man of his word.
What he said to you was, you can come there, or I can do your show. You used the chip
he
came on the show.
He didn't present me with any.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
You
I
said
had the conversation
I
with him.
I would rather you do come on the show than me go there,
no,
and he did that.
I did not. We never said that. We never stipulated anything like that. I'm just saying, just between you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, he felt like he owed me something because of the support I gave him early on in the campaign, all through the campaign on Fox News.
On Imus?
And on Imus.
You were great for
that. That's right. Yeah. And maybe in his mind, he might think, well, I paid him back by going on his stupid new morning show at WABC.
What do you mean maybe? When you consider the
fact. I'm saying he might think that, but maybe I don't. He might not.
But hold on a second. I got to go by what has happened since. Day five, week one, April 5th or 6th, Trump is on this show. We have gone back to Trump many times since. And by the way, not just Trump, Sarah Sanders. Yep. Kellyanne Conway. Yep. We get nothing. Trump has gone because on other people's shows a million times. If you and Trump were that close, as you claim you are, he would have been back by now.
I have his cell phone number.
Well, call him.
Okay.
Call him.
Text him or call him.
I don't get it.
I have never planned to go to Washington, D.C. I didn't make any plans, so what am I going to call him? Say, how you doing?
I wouldn't make any plans yet either.
Yeah.
I would wait till the president actually says to you, hey, Bernie, come out January 19th.
Look, and my contact, Hope Hicks, she left. She was the one who was, she was my liaison.
She was instrumental, yes.
I got her replacement contact, and I've emailed her.
I got another one, though. I have something else. I got it. Don't worry.
Of course I'm worried.
Don't worry. It's all good.
All right, then give me an over-under date.
Well, he's got till 2020, doesn't he?
Maybe win again.
Yeah, I'm going to do it at my leisure. When I have the free time to go down, I'd like to take my son, maybe my wife.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bernie likes to take his time going down.
Look, remember during the transition up at Trump Tower, Jill?
Yes.
I had the opportunity.
And I told you take it
and
now.
And I didn't take it.
You should have.
I said, I'm going to keep it in my back pocket.
Because now he's friends with Sean and not you.
Now, right. No, but he's friends with me. He loves
me. No, oh, God, he forgot about you.
No, please.
Thank you, Jill.
You're not national.
You don't know the president. He doesn't forget.
Forget. I couldn't agree with Jill more. You're gone. It's over.
Bernie,
thanks,
who?
Bern. I did your silly little radio show once.
None of his people get back to me. I said, but Bernie's best friends with him. Zero.
No, but they block him. That's why John Kelly is getting the boot, because he insulates the president from the people he should be communicating with.
Then he'll hire Chris Christie, who hates Bernie and Imus even more.
No, Chris Christie loves me.
Oh, please.
Did you hear the rapport?
Why won't he come on the show then?
Did you hear the rapport we had when he came on?
Yeah, when I got him on to talk legal gambling?
When we talked about he made a joke about me making fat jokes about him.
He did.
Yeah.
Because he's an entertainer, and he comes on your show, and he's smart, but he loathes you.
No. You know how many conversations I have with him up at Fox News?
Oh, my God. Here he goes again. See? Is he one of your tons of friends that you've got?
Why you got to say tons?
Rick and Laura, Chris Christie.
No, Chris Christie is my boy, and so is the president. We tight.
Call him, Trump.
They stay away from this show like it's the plague.
Yes. Yeah, but that's not... Look... there could be for a million other reasons.
Name one.
It's not because they hate me.
Name one.
You, sir.
You.
Fair enough. We'll be right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello. Happy Wednesday. All right. The most binged shows on Netflix list is out. They were presented actually in no particular order. So there are several shows, but no particular order. So I'm just going to give you the list based on my favorites. Starting with Bodyguard. Now, this is a BBC-produced show with former Game of Thrones breakout star Richard Madden. He plays a troubled war veteran who gets ensnared in essentially a civil war involving Britain's top security forces. I love, love this show. It's intense, kind of on the lines of Homeland. And, of course, it helps that everyone has English accents. Also, Making a Murderer, Part 2 on the list. The Haunting of Hill House. Orange is the New Black. 13 Reasons Why. The inner city teen dramedy On My Block making the list as well. Also, Last Chance U. That's the football docuseries. Fastest Car makes the list. It's about drag racing. Anne with an E, which is essentially the reimagined Anne of Green Gables. And Insatiable, rounding up that list. And fans are saying goodbye to Kathy Lee Gifford, the former host of Regis and Kathy Lee. Joined the Today Show late hour in 2008. She became an instant hit, but she says it's time for her to concentrate on a movie career. Jenna Bush Hager is reportedly in the running to replace her. And Roseanne is out, but another iconic TV mom may be in. Fans of The Conners got a possible sneak peek at the woman who may be Dad Dan's new love interest. As you know, the show recently killed off his TV wife, Roseanne, hence The Conners. John Goodman's character is going to have to move on sometime, and maybe the time is now. Actress Katie Sagal, who, of course, played the sexpot mother on Married with Children and a psycho biker bitch matriarch on Sons of Anarchy, she actually showed up on The Conners recently playing a bartender who returns to her hometown after failing to make it big in the music industry. Sagal is actually a singer in her downtime, and she provided quite a bit of music for Sons of Anarchy. Will she come to the widower's rescue? Stay tuned. I'm Juliet. That's Entertainment.
Sid and Bernie in the morning.
Hey, it's Sid Rosenberg. We're back. What's up, Scrappy?
Very good.
So
very good.
So what does Sid think about the New York Giants? Can they make the playoffs?
Need a lot of help. And I'm going to give you my picks. They need the Vikes to lose to the Saints tonight. To the Seahawks tonight out in Seattle. Very possible. They need the Dolphins to ride that momentum from yesterday to beat the Vikes. Buffalo already did that early in the season. So you need two losses out of the Vikes. You need the Panthers, Carolina, to lose two games. That's excellent points, Sid. You need Carolina to lose. That's right, dog. You need the Giants to win three straight. Tough matchups. I was talking to Lou about this. They've got the Titans at home. Titans will have a 9-day rest. They're running the ball well. But then you got to go up to Indianapolis to play the Colts. That's not easy. The Giants haven't beaten the Colts in the Manning era.
There he is, the great Sour Shoes. And for some reason, I came up in conversation. It's called the Pop Culture Meltdown Podcast with our guy who Bernie and I cut a promo with every single day, the guy that really creates the sound of this station, the very talented Chris Libertini. And Lou Pellegrino, one of my favorite people, formerly of the Scott Burrell Show for many years. They do a podcast here on the OG Podcast Network. New episodes drop every Wednesday and Friday. And Sour Shoes will be on Friday. And there it is. Popped up out of nowhere.
Wow. I know he was MIA for a long time.
We got to get him back in here. Right? Get him back in here.
Get him back in here.
Come on.
I've been asking him.
Come on. You know what? We should get him on for our Bruce Springsteen tribute tomorrow.
He loves Bruce.
Call in as
it's Friday.
As Mad Dog.
It's not tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow's only Thursday? Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's moving kind of slow. But it's a great idea because he does a great dog and doggy loves Bruce.
He'd be fantastic.
Doggy can't join us. He's on the red eye back from Las Vegas Friday morning. He's there for the winter baseball meetings in Vegas. One other note about a podcast. Last week I taped something called the First Class Fatherhood Podcast. So I do all these shows all week, Bernie. I make a lot of appearances across the country on various radio stations, talking sports, talking politics. On average, I'd say I do two or three different stations every week. San Diego, Kansas City, Miami, you name it. And once in a while, I do people podcasts. Well, this guy has a podcast strictly about fatherhood. No politics, no news, no sports. It was about 15 minutes long. And every question was what it's like to be a dad, how I handle my kids, whether it's discipline, what fun things do I do with my kids, what do we do during the holiday season together. I got to tell you, it was one of the most refreshing, fun appearances I ever made. All it was Ava, Gabriel, and something I think we should spend more time talking about, like you and I talking about gratitude yesterday, especially this time of year.
Family.
And fatherhood. Because moms always get it, right? Moms, every football player thanks their moms, you know. Half don't know their dads, but that's a whole other story. But fathers very rarely have an opportunity to beat their chest. And I know you're a great dad, and I got buddies who show up every Saturday morning early on a soccer field, and it's always about the moms.
That's right. And you have dads. In fact, we know a guy, I won't mention his name, who works long hours, and he is dedicated to his kids with travel teams, with sports.
He Craig Schwab?
Practices. I'd rather not mention his name.
Sid did.
I did.
But he goes all over the place.
Hockey. He's a great hockey guy.
And he's the most run-down, sickly dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, guys like that don't get the credit they deserve.
No.
Because, I mean, it's not easy to work all week, work your ass off, and then on the weekends travel to Connecticut and the bottom half of New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's not all about working. I mean, my wife, for example, puts in many more hours at her law firm than I do during the week. Many more. And she's a doting and devoted mother. So it's not just about the working. I mean, there are families where both spouses do work. For me, it's all about the attention, the dedication. I don't care if you're working two-hour days, you know. I know lots of guys, for example, that come the weekend, they go play golf for 9 hours on a Saturday. Sunday, they go to some fantasy football draft or their buddy's bar and watch football all day. Those are not doting dads, bottom line. Donald Trump, quite frankly, wasn't a doting dad. They love him now, but guys like you who went, yeah, who went to all these events with your kids, Craig, me, I guess Vic.
Oh, Vic is a great dad.
But that's another a good point. Like, for example, if dad doesn't make a certain game, I mean, is Junior going to be traumatized for the rest of his life? No, sometimes dad can't make every single game. A lot of guys say, I never miss a game. But sometimes the dads can't do it if it's, like I say, I mean, like, especially
if the mom can do it, then the dad should do it.
When my kids were younger and the games were local, that was fine. But when they started to go, you know, it's up at New Pulse, New York, or whatever it is, and I couldn't do it because of professional obligations. I needed, really, to take the day off.
Well, that's different. That doesn't make you lesser of a dad.
But potentially, I mean, it's there. Oh, wow, you're not going to go to that game?
I don't know about that. And that's silly. I mean, especially in your case, because it was Carol working at the time?
No.
Okay, so she was able to go.
That's her job.
Right. Danielle and I, it's tough because we could both be working. And then what do? You know, when Gabe was sick last week one day and the school called us at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm on the air with you. Danielle's in court trying to save a guy from going to prison for 20 years. That becomes a tough situation.
And in your case right now, it's early. I mean, your kids are young. When they're young, it's usually local. But when they start to get older, then they travel. And then, of course, you have travel teams, which I had a daughter that did that.
Volleyball.
The aforementioned Craig Schwab, his kid is on a travel team, and they travel all over the damn place.
Northeast, mostly.
And it's brutal. Yeah. You go to, he was in Virginia, for God's sake, a week and a half ago, Virginia, over the weekend for two games. The game Friday night and then Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then had to be back here on Monday. It's brutal.
It's all good stuff, though. And,
I know. It is great. It is good stuff. But my point is they don't get the credit for it. And like I said, the poor guy's sickly and tired looking all the time.
Yep.
And dads don't always get the credit they deserve.
Even his boss, Chad Lopez, I know a lot about Chad, personal stuff. He's a wonderful father. A wonderful father. And he's here, Chad, you know, 16 hours a day. Point is, doing this podcast, and all you're doing is emphasizing my point, so thank you. Doing this podcast was great. First class fatherhood. Go find it. Go Google it. And you can hear me, instead of talking about Donald Trump or Eli Manning or the Kardashians.
Oh, definitely refreshing.
It was fun. Yeah.
By the way, this song here makes me cry.
Why?
Because it's so sad. Was just a golden boy, but you went before you went away.
Father of mine, where you been?
I didn't realize the lyrics. I just like the upbeat, but you're right, I guess so. 1-800.
I love the way you talk.
1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Sheriff David Clark still to come. The very funny comedian Ellen Karras. We're going to replay Scaramucci in the 9 o'clock hour. How about you dads out there breaking your ass every single day? Feel like you get the credit you deserve? You probably don't. Call me and Bernie. We'll come back right after this.
And you don't see me.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
All right, happy. Nice and easy. You know what's driving me crazy? You not getting the ball in the hole.
Don't push me, Bob. Now's not the time.
Jackass!
This guy sucks.
All right, that's Happy Gilmore. Today, Bob Barker celebrates his 95th birthday. So wow. Happy birthday to Bob.
Happy birthday, Bob. God bless. 95. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever see that video of Adam Sandler and Bob Barker? He's in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And him and Sandler visits him. It's just like a year old. Sandler visits him, you know, to recount happier times when Barker was in the movie. And they end up just punching the crap out of each other. It
that's
is absolutely hilarious.
Oh,
I always think about Adam Sandler this time of year being that Adam and I spent a lot of time together.
Yes, you guys are tight.
Last Christmas at the Boca Resort, yes.
Like me and Trump.
Right, same thing. Only difference is I've seen Adam Sandler a few times over the last couple of years.
The only difference is I got Trump on the show.
That's true. You did do that. You're right. Well, if we were going to Georgia this year, like we were promised we'd be doing, to Atlanta for the Super Bowl, I would have gotten us Adam Sandler.
No doubt about it.
But it ain't happening. Hey, by the way, Lonnie Hanover, Howard Stern's guy, and the Bernie and Sid guy, sent us a beautiful holiday card. I got to think. I'm not going to
say sent us a beautiful girl.
No, but Bernie, oh. All the beautiful cards you get for Christmas and New Year's, would you say that Lonnie's card, Lonnie from Rick's Cabaret and Vivid, may be the most pleasing card of all?
I would say Santa Baby. Santa Baby. Some really festive felines.
You know, talking about Stern, our good friend High Pitch Eric yesterday took a gay lie detector test. Yep. Howard Stern did pay him. I heard $750.
Good, he could use the money.
I know. Did he pass?
I didn't hear the ending.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was happy. I don't know. I don't think Eric's gay, but.
Well, how do you know that? Has it come on to you?
Yes.
Ew.
Oh, my yes. God. First of all, the poor guy, I mean, I would imagine he's nothing. You know what I mean? Asexual.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Just not, I mean, like, come on.
What did he do that you contend he came on to you?
Nah, not much. Nothing. I'm just
send
kidding.
You a picture or something?
No, no, nothing like that. Nothing
yeah.
like that.
Sheriff David Clark will join us in about 9 minutes. We'll get back to the happenings in the Oval Office yesterday with Schumer, Pelosi, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence. But I was talking to Bernie off the air moments ago, and I was saying, when you live in your own home like Jill does and Bernie does, when this time of year came, I would always tip the lawn guy, give him a nice Christmas gift,
yeah.
The garbage guy, the mail guy.
You do that.
Right. And that was it.
Except in New York, that was in Florida. But in New York, you don't see the lawn guy at Christmas.
Oh, that's true.
So you get out of that.
That's right.
There's a little benefit.
Right. The guys in Florida do it every single week all year long.
But
very good.
There's still a litany of people you have to take care of, including the postman and,
right.
You know.
The garbage guy comes every week, take
yes.
care of him. But living in a building in Manhattan now, I mean, we get a card yesterday. Happy holidays, the Rosenberg family. And all they do is list names.
Yep.
There's like 20 names. The porter, the elevator guy, the guys downstairs at the front door.
Gotta do it.
The effing names don't stop. Now listen, I'm a rock star in my building. They love me. Know me by first name. Know my wife and kids.
Kidding me? Walking around with that Bernie and Sid t-shirt.
Well, that's now. In the summer, I used to walk in with no shirt on. Straight from Riverside Park, all tan, carrying my chair. And people would go, who's that crazy guy that walks around with, oh, he's a big radio guy. So anyway, so they treat me very nicely. So I can't look bad here.
You cannot. And right. You're new there as well, so this is going to set a precedent.
Right.
It's going to set the tone, I should say.
Right. So it's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure and a lot of money. But, you know, if you walk the walk, you got to talk the talk, pal. Want to be a big shot.
Uh-huh.
You can't, you can't screw the elevator guy.
Right. No, you can't. I know.
What's good to tip, like for a garbage man? What do you tip your garbage guy?
$25.
Yeah, something like that.
We give him 100.
$100?
There's two guys, and they take garbage. Like, we have tons of garbage.
So you give 50 apiece.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's
and,
fine.
And you have, for example, we have a paper, a guy who delivers the paper.
You get the paper delivered?
Still get
yeah,
the
on
paper?
The weekends, yes.
Yeah. Have you ever an iPad?
Well, No. I get the New York Post Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Nice.
Why not?
What do you give that kid?
Well, we just got it delivered this past year for the first time.
He's getting nothing.
Probably throwing $50.
That's a very nice gift.
For a year? Why not?
It's a very nice gift.
Listen, I'm very generous. I used to drive a taxi.
Right.
I lived off tips.
I know.
And when I go out, if you want to be a big shot, you're going out to a restaurant, You better take care of the person who's bringing you the food.
Yeah, and I was a waiter. I never drove a cab, but I was a waiter for many years. In fact, before I got into this business, I used to work at L&N Seafood in Boca Town Center Mall in South Florida. And I was the very first waiter at the Fridays in Sheepshead Bay, which is still there today. So when I go out for dinner, for example, Danielle will be like, this waiter blows. He sucks. F him. He's getting 10%. And I'm always like, no, he's not that bad. To be honest, you're being kind of annoying. You
know? Yeah.
And I'm always pushing for the 20% no matter what. And she is, you know, she's generous, Danielle, but she's willing at times to, like, chop it right down. And I always make the argument for the guy, like you were saying, Bernie, because I was there.
Absolutely. You just have to. I mean, it's the right thing to do. Plus, you have experienced it. I mean, I go so far as to tip this dude in my gym. It's this dude, Jose.
What does he do? What, does he dry your ass when you get out of the shower?
He's very cool. He kicks out the perverts. And he makes sure, you know, if there's a shortage of towels, he always finds a towel for me.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, that kind of thing?
Yes.
So I throw him a bottle of Hennessy and a carton of Newports.
Well, let's get one quick call in. It's a shame the phones are lighting up. It's a great topic here. But Sheriff David Clark is coming out to talk about Trump in a couple of minutes. John is in the Bronx on line 3. Good morning, Johnny.
John, what I believe in, I don't believe in tipping. I believe in over-tipping all the time.
Good man.
Good man, Johnny. One more quickly. Bobby's in Pennsylvania on line 4. Good morning, Bobby.
Hey, Sid. Hey, guys. Well, happy holidays. Listen, if you live in a building, those people are paid marginal amounts of money, so they rely on their tips.
Yep. True.
If you live in a house like Jill, the garbage man, it depends on what he's willing to take away during the year. That's how you base your tip. The guy that comes and brings the packages, if he puts it in a plastic bag and inclement weather. So, you know, it's kind of stuff like that. The garbage man, you know, he's willing to take up a rolled up carpet. Maybe he deserves a grand.
Fair enough.
Possible.
Yeah.
Look, it depends on how much they do. But you definitely overtip, as the gentleman from the Bronx said. I mean, it's going to pay dividends for you, in your own self-interest.
Sure.
But it's the right thing to do.
No question.
These people, you're a big shot. And these people are working their ass off for a living. And taking care of you. And they can screw you, too.
What are you yelling at me for? I don't understand. You get like
I'm talking to the audience.
No, but you seem like you're yelling at me. You're like you're mad at me.
Well, because you were like fretting.
Well, I got 20 names
you're
on the goddamn
fretting
list.
About the people in your building. Just take it easy. Throw out a 20 or 40 or whatever it is.
All right.
Just do it and just eat it and dummy up.
And shut up.
Yes.
Sheriff David Clark talking Schumer, Pelosi, Trump and Pence, right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
We need the wall. We need more important than anything, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece.
Nice. Well done there, Crash. I love this song. Anyway, that was Donald Trump yesterday in the Oval Office with Mike Pence taking on Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Sheriff David Clark spent 16 years, 2002 through 2017, as the sheriff in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then, of course, arrived in a big way on the national political scene as a guy that was there for Donald Trump from the very beginning. And now has become a favorite on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning show. And according to our bosses, I think they'll be happy to hear this. Statistically, Sheriff David Clark's segments get big ratings.
That's right.
So how about that, Sheriff Clark?
Hey, I'm humbled by that. And good morning to your listeners as well.
Good morning, there Sheriff. Well, yeah, I think you should be Times Person of the Year for that.
Damn right.
To be honest with you. So listen, Sheriff Clark, that whole spectacle at the White House, the Oval Office yesterday, crying Chuck, tipsy Pelosi. Pelosi, she doesn't want the cameras on. She wants to do it behind the scenes. Trump is like, hey, I'm going to own this thing. Don't worry about it, Schumer. I'll take the heat. And, well, I don't know. What did you think of it?
Well, let's drill down into this a little bit because there's several moving parts. First of all, the Democrats, they don't want to fix our broken immigration system. They want to play politics with it. They want to use it for political leverage, especially at election time. This was a excuse me, this will turn out to be a game of chicken, but the president's going to win. He's going to stare these people down. They're not used to this sort of executive, this sort of president, who doesn't care about the politics. And I don't mean he doesn't pay attention. He pays attention to the politics, but he's not worried about his next election. He's not out for this long political career. And regardless of what Schumer and Pelosi say, they do not want border security. They want to deny President Trump a political win. Look, they don't want the president to fill a campaign promise in light of all the success that he's had and in the face of all this resistance. So that's kind of what's going on here. But trust me, the president's going to win on this.
No doubt about it. Yeah, no, they don't want it. They want the issue more. They have no solutions. All they do is attack him. They have no solutions at all, and they don't care that drugs and crime and impoverished people are coming across the borders. As an earlier guest of ours said, depressing wages for poor people, and of course it's the working class mostly that's doing the dying from all the opioids that are crossing the border, and it's Latino kids that are getting cut up out in Long Island because of MS-13. Pelosi and Schumer don't care. That's why they want the cameras turned off, because, yes, they want open borders, like you say.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the American people have caught on to this. You know, the Democrats have a tendency to think that the American people are stupid, but they're not. They see exactly what's going on here. This issue has been front and center for about the last 30 years or so. It has led to this huge influx of another country's ne'er-do-wells in terms of illegal immigration. Like you said, depresses wages. There's some other issues that are going on here, especially with this invasion that had hit the border. There was like a third of the people, the story that I saw, a third of the individuals in that invasion caravan had some sort of infectious disease. So they're dragging that stuff into the United States. It's also a strain on our limited resources here in the United States, like the medical system, like the schools, so on and so forth. Yeah. So, you know, this thing has to be kept under control. Do you want to control your immigration? We want legal immigration. The president's made that clear. The Democrats try to play, they engage in wordsmithing here when they say that the president and people on the right don't like immigrants. That is simply not true. Everybody knows that. So, you know, the president, see, the thing that's interesting is Schumer and Pelosi came into this thing, this meeting yesterday, thinking that the president would be like your typical Republican. You mentioned government shutdown. Republicans are going to get blamed for it either way, even though Schumer shut it down last time. The lying liberal media blamed the Republicans for it. Trump's not afraid of that. That's why I said this is a game of chicken. He doesn't care about that. They can blame him. They're going to blame him for everything anyway, but he's willing to shoulder that, and that's a big part of leadership. But the typical political response from a Republican, when you mention government shutdown, they run away like their hair's on fire. But Trump did not do that, and he's not going to.
Nope. Well, let's talk about, though, the meat of the issue. Let's forget about the back and forth. You guys think Trump did a great job. He wins. He'll win. You know, my opinion, Sheriff David Clark, is nobody won yesterday. They looked ridiculous. They always do. I can't stand Schumer and Pelosi. And I thought Trump came off as petulant, to be honest. That's just my opinion. But my question is, if Trump can't get the $5 billion that he wants to protect us from the Democrats, where's he getting it from?
Well, look, this is all about, when you're putting together spending packages, as you know, this is all about negotiation. The president set the standard at $5 billion. If he gets 4.5, if he gets 4, okay, he got most of what he wants in this round here. But if you recall the last two rounds, the omnibus, that craptacular sandwich that they handed the president to sign, he had to sign it because they had defense spending in there and defense budget in there, which he wanted to accomplish as well to take care of the military. He was forced to sign it, but he said he was not going to sign another bill like that again that didn't have border funding. So when you ask where is he going to get it, there's also some other things that he can do. He can take it out of the defense budget,
right?
Which he doesn't want to do, but he can do if he declares it to be a national security emergency.
And he did say that. He did say he'll take it. If I have to, I'll take it from the military. So he did say that.
Right. So, you know, he does have some options. And that's why I say this is chess, not checkers. And Pelosi and Schumer, they don't know what to do because they typically can box a Republican in but they're not able to do that with Trump. They don't know what to do with this guy, so that's why I said he's running circles around him. Now, what went on yesterday, sure, it was theater. Great theater, but that's what Washington, D.C. is. But the president wanted the American people to see what goes on behind the scenes in these sorts of negotiations. Schumer and Pelosi were uncomfortable doing it in public.
True.
But guess what? That's why he did it, because he had them on their heels, and he had them off balance.
All right, fair enough. But the question now becomes, because they've taken back the House, which Pelosi continues to drive that point home, as we're talking right now, Bernie, Sid, and Sheriff David Clark, Nadler and the rest of these morons are putting together some program to at least impeach him. They may not be able to impeach him, but they're claiming that he has impeachable offenses. So while Trump may beat his chest for winning this round at the Oval Office yesterday, are the Democrats not planning a major coup to take this guy down?
Oh, not only Democrats, but the lying liberal media has done it as well, the deep state. That's gone on ever since he won the election in 2016. It continued after he was inaugurated. It's gone on for the last 2 years. They've been trying. That's what this whole Mueller witch hunt is about,
right?
Trying to delegitimize this administration, trying to undo an election, trying to defy the will of the people. He won this thing fair and square. There was no Russian collusion, and they're going to continue to do this. But what they're really trying to do is drive his approval rating numbers down with the American public, who tire of the stuff that goes on in Washington, D.C., and I don't blame them. They're tired of all this nonsense that goes on. But we sent Donald Trump to Washington to drain the swamp, to rock the boat, to go like a bull in a china shop and break up this clique that goes on in Washington, D.C. And that's precisely what he's doing. And I'll tell you what, the people in Washington, D.C., they can't figure this out, because this would have destroyed any other person, any other Republican president. This would have destroyed. So they'll continue on this to beat this drum on impeachment, but they're not going to remove him from office with impeachment. And that might damage them politically, the Democrats. They know that they have to walk around carefully over this impeachment thing, because that kind of thing turns off the American people. Look, even in light of what Bill Clinton did when he lied under oath, he committed perjury, for heaven's sakes. You know, the heck with the his sexual tryst, and I'm not going to say that doesn't matter. I'm just saying,
right,
this man committed a felony, and still the American people said at the time, we don't think he should be removed from office. So that's why I said politically, this is dangerous for the Democrats.
Yeah, and they seem to be going down the same rabbit hole. But listen, Trump's choice to succeed Jeff Sessions as attorney general is a shrewd choice. Bush 41's attorney general, this guy named whatever the hell it is, Bill Barr. But look, speaking of the deep state, you pointed it out. I think these guys, Comey, McCabe, Stroke, Brennan, they all meddled in the election, and they're guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors at the very least. And my choice to be attorney general would be, one, Sheriff David Clark, a man of color, a man with a pair of iron balls who will investigate the investigators.
The pride of
Wisconsin. Come on. Going to continue to drag me into this damn swamp.
Yes.
Yeah, kicking and screaming. But, you know, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm humbled by it. But you're right. On a serious note, the real criminal activity went on within the Department of Justice and the FBI. Where's the investigation of those individuals, yep, who tried to undo this election with false swearing for FISA warrants, so on and so forth? Mrs. Bill Clinton and her email scandal. Nothing about that, but
nothing.
Now all of a sudden we're talking about campaign finance violations, and they're talking about that being some sort of criminal and impeachable act. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Listen, Sheriff David Clark from the Bernie and Sid Show, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we look forward to many more conversations in 2019. You're great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're going to come. Wait, listen, I got something on the holiday parties. Some lady went on with Gayle King yesterday.
Leave it. Just leave it right there.
It's unbelievable.
We'll do that. And also, it's Judgment Day for a guy that used to be a friend of Donald Trump. More of Bernie and Sid right after these words.
And you.
Said in the
Juliet.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Yes, Queen, this is the real life. Your song, Bohemian Rhapsody, is the most streamed song of the 20th century. 1.6 billion streams of that song and the music video as well. This is according to Universal Music. The group, Queen, may actually want to tip their hats, of course, to two movies who made the song relevant again and again. Wayne's World, first of all, reintroducing us to the six-minute opus back in 1992. And then, of course, the recent movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which itself just reached a milestone, becoming the second highest-grossing music biopic ever. It displaces the Johnny Cash biopic Walk the Line, which is at number two. Now that's at number three. But the movie that's still holding the number one slot, Straight Outta Compton, about the groundbreaking rap group N.W.A., released in 2015. Another big milestone to tell you about. This is, I mean, Armageddon, the fat lady singing, pigs are flying. The man with self-described tiger blood is sober.
Wow, winning.
Yes, Charlie Sheen, you won. You have achieved what many are calling a superhuman feat, many mean me. The former actor turned train wreck is 1 year sober. He's posted the news on social media with the caption, hashtag totally focused. And finally, move over, boys. A new study from Hollywood talent agency CAA finds movies with female leads beat out those starring men. This is based on box office revenue for the top 350 films released between 2014 and 2017. What's more, this is actually really interesting. Of those 350 top films, only 105 starred a woman as a main character, meaning 245 did not. But those 105 grossed more than the 245 that starred men. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
You better watch out. You better not.
Oh, Blue Eyes here, Frank Sinatra, who would be celebrating. Of course, he's not. He's dead a long time. A long time. But he would be celebrating his 103rd birthday today. Happy birthday to the greatest crooner, the greatest singer in the history of mankind. Happy birthday, Frank Sinatra.
Love this. Santa Claus is coming.
Sing it, Burn. Quick shout out to my friend Billy, Mirage Restaurant, Coney Island Avenue by Kings Highway in Brooklyn. Better cheesecake than Junior's and the best steak burger anywhere in Brooklyn. Billy's a big fan of the Bernie and Sid Show, and in fact, is even considering doing something that was done for me four or five times down in South Florida, especially at breakfast places, and that is naming a dish after us. For example, a couple of places in Florida had the Sid Rosenberg omelet, Bruce's of Bayside in Boca, and in Mitchell's place in Boca. And what it was I would get the same omelet every single time. I would get egg whites, feta cheese, mushroom, blah, blah, blah. And eventually they put on the menu the Sid Rosenberg omelet. So we're gonna get the Bernie and Sid something or other.
Includes ham and nuts.
Now we can do that. Especially for me, ham and nuts. So we got to figure out what we're going to put in the Bernie and Sid dish.
We will work that out. That's
bologna and tongue.
It's a nice... That's a nice tribute.
Yes, it is.
So
yes,
listen, is. We've been talking about holiday. Everybody's talking about holiday parties, Christmas parties now. Hanukkah's over. It's a Christmas party, all right? So it's fraught with peril. I mean, you go in, four or five beers. You're dancing like a moron on the floor. People are cell phone videoing it. And next thing you know, you're shoving your tongue down some sales girl's throat that doesn't want it. Or maybe vice versa. Who knows? Whatever it is. It is fraught with peril, but it doesn't have to be. It could be a fun thing, and most of them are fun. And I like to think of Christmas parties as that.
Right.
And not this minefield that everybody's worried about.
Even though you never go, including this year.
Well, I used to go.
Right, sure.
All right, this year I couldn't go. I went last year to a Christmas party, believe it or not.
I know, your friend.
Now, listen. I think I'm going to one Saturday night. But whatever. We're talking about company holiday parties. Mm-hmm. So this woman, she writes for the New York Times. Her name is, it's Jennifer Weiner. And Jennifer Weiner, she sat down with Gail King, Nora O'Donnell, Bianca Goldriga, and John Dickerson. And they were talking holiday parties on CBS This Morning yesterday. And this is, just take a listen to a New York Times writer, Jennifer Weiner, on holiday parties.
2018.
Yes, here we are.
Still having this frigging conversation.
Still having this frigging conversation.
That said, it seems every year somebody gets into trouble at the holiday party.
Every time.
So you think it's still necessary for us to have it?
Well, I mean, I have to ask, first of all, like, why are we having holiday parties at all?
For morale?
Okay, wouldn't you rather have an extra $100 in your paycheck than have to go, like, put on the Spanx, put on the heels, be social with, the guy with, like, the stale coffee breath who's been, like, kind of looking at your backside every time you go to the copier?
Uh-huh.
You know how that is.
Well, I don't.
You don't?
No one ever looks at my butt, Jan.
Oh, come on.
That was Gayle King. Nobody ever looks at my butt. Now, you just hear the hatred for men dripping out of this woman's mouth, the guy with the bad coffee breath and all that stuff. And by the way, not for nothing, but she looks like Mike Francesa.
Gayle King?
This Jennifer Wiener.
Oh, yeah, she's not an attractive lady.
She ain't putting on Spanx, and nobody's looking at her butt. I guarantee you that.
Couldn't agree more.
But and if she gets on the dance floor, I mean, she turns up on the Richter scale. Trust me when I tell you. But
real good joke. Yeah.
You just hear the nastiness, the vitriol just dripping out of her lips. And then she continued on the difficulty, women's dress choices can be for a Christmas party. Take a listen.
Like I said in my article, men have a uniform, okay? You put on a suit, you put on a tie, you're dressed.
Yes.
And if you decide you're overdressed, you take off the tie.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go. And for women, it's like, okay, if it says holiday festive, like, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, what I wore to work today plus a necklace, like, and a cute shoe, and then I have to bring that, and what if it's not right?
Good. I mean, you talk about sucking the joy out of an event. Imagine being at anything with this woman, anywhere.
But she looks, and it's going to sound shallow, I don't care. She looks exactly the type that would be saying these types of things. Because I got to think that nobody pays attention to this lady. They just don't.
She's like Lena Dunham.
Yep. Yeah. So it's easy for her to hate on the guys.
I'll go with Mike Francesa.
That's fine. Easy for her to hate on the guys and all that because she probably has some built-in resentment because she's fat and unattractive. And
yes.
She's blaming it on the guys instead of her stinky ass.
Bingo. A lot of these feminazis, yes, they have that built-in resentment because they don't get the attention.
That's right.
And by the way, they're sitting there like I said, John Dickerson, who replaced Charlie Rose.
I know.
For them. And a network that is run by Les Moonves.
He was brutal on Face the Nation, too. You talk about a guy that was completely one-sided. Those Sunday morning shows, that was John. I happen to like Norah O'Donnell. I think she's pretty good.
So you think, though, that he might show some balls and push back a little. But this was his contribution to the conversation with old Jennifer Wiener.
Have a plan, like if that guy who checks out your butt when you go to the copier corners you, have a friend who is going to be like looking out for you and saying like, hey, Sarah, come on over here, with me, not with him. Avoid the creepy guy.
What else can you do?
Yeah. What else can you do at an office party? I joke
what
that
else
like,
can you
unfortunately,
do?
If I was telling somebody what to wear, I'd say a body camera at this point. Oh, so I know, right? A body camera and the Christine Blasey Ford Memorial one-piece bathing suit under the
this?
Clothes, which
what?
Is terrible, but here we are.
How about a paper bag for you?
Yeah.
With a couple of slits so you can see, so you don't run over anybody and squash them.
You know, but before we run here out of this segment, though.
Freaking tent.
She mentioned Christie Blasey Ford, and you and I talked about her yesterday. She was a finalist, I guess, for the 2018 Time Person of the Year. And you made a great point on this show yesterday, which was, if you're going to have Christine Blasey Ford for the left, that's fine. You love her. She's your hero. That's great. Then how about having Brett Kavanaugh, who, in fact, last I checked, is a Supreme Court judge.
And was falsely accused.
Correct.
And almost denied due process and overcame all that.
I had two conversations, again, very anecdotal. One in the gym, actually, with folks that are both on the left. This is reason for hope, Bernie. Folks on the left that agreed. Said, you know what? That would have been better. So kudos to you. We'll take a short break. More of Bernie and Sid right after these words.
Yourself. A merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Craig and Rumson, what's up, Craig?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's happening?
Don't give up on Billions. You'll like it.
It's not bad. You know what it is? It's a ripoff of Werewolf of Wall Street. It's a total ripoff.
I like it. It's pretty good.
I think De Niro's best performance. I would take Raging Bull over Mean Streets or Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
There's Mike Francesa. No one, he's on top of everything, isn't he? The Werewolves of Wall Street, which I guess maybe was a horror movie they made off of The Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know. And, of course, Goodfellas. Not Goodfellas. Goodfellas.
Mikey, what's happening to you, Mikey?
Chapter one in the book of all-time sports talk greats. And he is that, and he belongs there. But, man, is he... He's just...
Look, maybe he's having a bad day. You know, we all have bad days.
We've been playing these things for 3 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe he's having a bad few years.
Back on the Bernie and Sid show, the very funny Ellen Karras. You may remember her. You wouldn't, actually, if you weren't there. But we had that great Bernie and Sid night of comedy at the Cutting Room in September. We're going to do it again next year. It was an unbelievable night. I mean, everybody was great. Jimmy Brewer and Don Jameson, Jim Florentine, Rob Magnotti, Jackie yes. Martling. The list goes on and on.
And our friend from Channel 11. I mean, it was a lot
Scott Stanford.
Scott
did a good
Stanford
job.
Who yes. opened yep. up for yep. us. Yep. Everybody was great.
Well, Karras, new on the scene. We never met her before, and she was wonderful that night. So she's getting another opportunity now on this show to present some of her comedy. She'll be here in about 15 minutes, and then if you missed it, this was a really good conversation. Covered everything from a possible Noah Syndergaard trade from the Mets to the Yankees to who should replace John Kelly as the White House Chief of Staff to what happened in the Oval Office yesterday. Anthony Scaramucci coming up next hour as well. So that's all great. But we're talking about holiday parties. You watched some of the stuff on the CBS show yesterday.
Jennifer Weiner, this New York Times writer, who's just seems to be an unpleasant, bitter woman, had some things to say. We played some clips. Mad Mike is in Manhattan, New York City. Good morning to you, Mad Mike.
My Chrome Dome assassins. Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, now. I mean, could be worse.
You know, it could be worse. But let me tell you something. What's wrong with this lady? You know, there's enough loving to go around. It's not my problem that, you know, her rear end's filled with 5 pounds of cottage cheese. I mean, really, what are we doing here?
No,
I mean, come on. She sounds like the demoralizer here. It's like she's like, boo-hoo. There's enough loving to go around. Listen, I remember when I was a young stallion many moons ago going to the clubs in Bay Ridge. You know, there used to be a special night put away for those girls. You know, they used to be the Friday night. We used to go BHPing. You know, we used to go boar's head once in a while, get whacked, you know, and do the right thing. You know, take 30 feet. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Have a great day, fellas.
Listen, man, Mike, thanks. Look, we seem to be regressing. I mean, women are going to be afraid to, you know, dress up nicely in the workplace for fear of saying, oh, she's asking for it. And by the way, women can use that type of thing as leverage. A good-looking woman, yeah, she can get advance with her looks, and there's nothing wrong with that. Good-looking guys, they advance quicker than, you know, fat, short, ugly guys. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that's the way it should be. That's just the way it is.
If you show cleavage, you probably get a bonus or a promotion.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so and these fat, unattractive feminists, they're ruining things for good-looking, for women, period. Even an average-looking woman who tries her best to dress up, they're going to look down their noses at her and judge her accordingly. And it just ain't right. I don't think so. Hashtag me too, ruining things for women in the workplace. I mean, you said that before, Sydney.
No, I think that there will be instances where men will be afraid to hire attractive women because
or to confide in them,
right,
or to
right.
You know, like, come on in, we'll have a conversation.
No, nope.
You're smart, you're intelligent, you're a good employee, and I want to talk something over with you. They're not going to do that,
no,
because they're going to be afraid. Whoa, what is he calling me? Or the other people will think, why is he calling her in there? What are they doing in there? Maybe they're just discussing strategy or something like that.
Sometimes these things, they're born from paranoia. In this case, that's not true. I mean, I would really be afraid. I really would. You see what's going on. You see this, what you played from CBS yesterday. And, you know, and a lot of these parties now, and I talk to folks all the time, that talk about how 15 years ago their parties were wild. And now they've been completely
yeah. it's like watered down. It's like a fifth grade Christmas party.
Basically. They still, you know, serve booze in a lot,
yeah,
of these parties.
Well,
but guys who would just throw caution to the wind and you know, the worst worry was, I got to take a cab home because I'm so wasted. Now they start to measure. You know, if I have three drinks, for example, I'm going to say something to her. So I'm going to have two. Like, these are the thoughts that go through people's minds. It was never like that. It was like, what am I going after this party? What time am I going home tonight?
Exactly.
Taking a cab. You know, do you have a drug dealer?
Everything was allowed. Everything was on the table. Let's put it that way. But on the other side of the coin, you have guys like Les Moonves ruining things as well. I mean, he's got a girl, a staffer, on call for BJ's, for God's sake.
I saw that.
Guys like that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Jennifer, between him and Jennifer Weiner, they're ruining society. We can't have any fun here anymore.
Jennifer's wiener is ruining society. I agree.
And so is Les Moonves's.
Yeah.
Yes, Les is more.
Yeah, but it's too bad. But
I got to tell you, though, there was some other, like you talked about, you had that lady on call, and some other ladies, I guess, came out last week. They continue to come forward.
By the way, you, I miss had you on call.
Didn't he now? Especially when he dressed me as Dale Parsons years ago. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
As a female cowboy. That was kind of odd on I miss his part. But he, Julie Chen, you got to love her. It doesn't matter what comes out about Leslie Moonves. He's my guy.
No, and why not? She benefited from just that very thing.
And benefits.
You can't.
She's back on the show on CBS.
That's right. She's back
the
on
talk.
Big Brother.
Big Brother, that's right.
But you cannot tell me she started dating him while he was. You can't tell me that she wasn't a product of him exchanging, them exchanging sexual favors for her advancement. You can't tell me otherwise. So, yeah, she was maybe. They say in the CBS report that she was the last one that she turned him around or something like that.
Right.
But she had minimal talent, and she rose in a meteoric fashion. So, yeah, she's going to stick with him because why not? It worked for her.
Like Joe and Mika, I guess, right?
That's right.
So
that's right. They
exchange fluids as well.
The skunk and the skank. It worked out, though. There's a two hashtag Me Too.
Okay.
Incidents that actually worked out. And I guess there are more out there as well.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of them. I'm sure.
I met my wife, by the way,
at NBC?
At the workplace.
Yeah.
But I was, she wasn't my subordinate. You know, I had no power. I had no juice. I was just a flunky.
You were just in the same building at the same time.
We were in the same office.
Right. Oh, office?
Yeah. I was,
the door locked?
I don't know.
You know, I was making like 30 grand a year.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, I had no juice.
You would have been called out today.
You think so?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you took advantage. Whether you're making 30 grand or not, doesn't. Maybe you had good weed. Maybe you got a big penis. I don't know.
I slipped in right under just before the bedtime happened.
Right.
Yes.
You're lucky your grandfather.
My kids are lucky to be here today. So am I. Because thankfully, there were no Jennifer Wieners running around back in. Back in the 80s.
Is it okay for office workers to have a fling, but if you're a subordinate, it's not okay? But it's okay if you're the same level.
And even if you're a subordinate, it is okay until she decides it's not okay.
Right.
So,
he decides.
But if you're a guy, I mean, she's not going to get in trouble.
Maybe not she, but what about Boomer and Gio? Hey, what is this Ellen Karras coming on to talk about next? What is
it? She's just going to come on and be funny.
She's a comedian. We'll talk to her about this.
Is she going to be in studio or on the phone?
She's in studio.
Oh, she's coming in?
Yeah.
All righty. We'll talk to Ellen Karras and Anthony Scaramucci. Fourth and final hour of Bernie and Sid coming right back.
Sid in the morning.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, fourth and final hour of today's show. Been fun. Anthony Scaramucci coming up at about 9:40. But we've got an in-studio guest, somebody that was really terrific when we had our Bernie and Sid Night of Comedy a couple of months ago at the Cutting Room, something we'll do annually now. It went so well. And we had some big names, Jim Brewer, blah, blah, blah. But Ellen Karras showed up that night as a newcomer, and she was really, really great.
Terrific.
No surprise. She's performed alongside folks like Drew Carey and J.J. Walker and somebody that's going to be with us actually next month, Sebastian Maniscalco, who's terrific. So no surprise. She's got her own podcast. It's hilarious. The Karis Comedy Corner. So she's had quite a career. And really what she is, you know the guy on the Milwaukee Bucks, Bernard, the Greek freak?
I do, yes. Yeah, whatever his name. It's hard to pronounce
his name. Anthony Campos or something. He's one of the best basketball players in the world today. Quite frankly, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
So he is, for the Greeks to the NBA, what Karis is Greeks for comedy. This is a lot of your shtick.
She's the Greek goddess of comedy.
It's the fact that you're Greek.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I
am Greek.
Let me make you feel comfortable.
Yes, please.
Tikani, right?
Oh, kala. Oh, that's beautiful.
See?
You said that very well.
Thank you.
Because sometimes Americans are like tikanis.
No.
You know, or like at the Greek festivals, they go, can I have some baklava? It's baklava.
Right.
Or on the cooking shows, feta. No, it's feta. It's feta.
Manicotti. Yeah, no, it's manicotti.
Exactly. Exactly.
I actually had a good friend of mine, Tommy Alexander, listens every day from down in South Florida. He lives in Davie. And I once ordered a gyro. He got so angry with me. He's like, gyro!
Gyro.
Oh, come. See, but you're doing that right now. See, you're becoming annoying because we like to say it that way and just get over it. You don't live in Athens. You don't live in one of these Greek islands. You live in New York City. That's how we talk.
Okay, listen. There are like 7 Greeks left, okay? Seriously, there's my family and there's John Stamos.
That's it.
Okay? And actually, we still count Telly Savalas, even though he passed about 20 years ago. Okay? He's still amongst the living.
Even the diners are gone.
Like, I know.
The El Greco diner in Sheepshead Bay. I mean, come on, what happened to all the great diners?
I tell you what, the one, and I read about it, and it's a possibility, the Neptune Diner in Astoria, right by Tri-Barber.
Very well.
Well, because, you know, we all hold court there, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And a lot of deals have gone down in the back of that diner, and if I think that one's going to go, that's going to be the end of us.
Terrible.
That's we created civilization, and now we're about to leave.
By the way, that diner she's talking about, Bern, you know this.
I know the story.
That was a secret meeting between me and Mike Francesa when he tried to hire me. Long time ago.
Yeah, that's a classic diner. But the Ellen Karis, the Greek goddess of comedy, first of all, it's Christmas time. We were just talking holiday parties.
Mm-hmm.
And, where are you working now, by the way?
Well, again, thank you for having me because I have been on a career lull, you know, which has been about 17 years since I started stand-up comedy. I started my career as a CPA. I have a CPA. I have a bachelor's degree in accounting.
You have a CPA? God bless.
I worked.
My son, about 6 months ago, completed his CPA tests, the four of them.
Yes,
within 1 year, and it's so difficult. So congratulations to you. I know how hard it is.
Thank you. And then I have an MBA in finance. I worked in an investment bank. It's all great. So I have all this. I had a 401k, and now I'm an elf at Macy's. it is so my working
that.
Out, yeah. And I'm just so glad that it's you know, stand-up comedy's just been
it's so easy.
It's just so great. I probably couldn't even get a Netflix special had I watched Louis C.K. do whatever he did do. and even Harvey Weinstein, I wouldn't have been a blur on Law and Order. So it's working out for me. Yes, I'm an elf. It's great.
You're an elf at Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
Are you joking? Are you really?
Around the corner.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, this is great. I'm going to go to work after
I've
this.
I've done that. I've stood online for like an hour and a half to see you dopey elves and Santa. It's just horrendous.
Excuse me. My name is Shortstack, by the way.
Oh,
okay.
I like
okay. Please. I don't go by Dopey. Dopey somebody else. Okay.
You know, I will say this. On that night, our comedy night, you got Jim Brewer, you got Jackie Marling, you got these huge names. You had one of the best jokes of the night, and it was about your husband.
Mm-mm.
And you have to forgive me because I forgot the punchline at this point. But I remember going home with my wife going, that may have been the line of the night. Do you remember exactly what you said about your husband? You were arguing about something, and you told him something. I don't remember.
Well, you mean the cheapness?
Yes!
The cheapness?
That was brilliant!
Okay, honey, I'm sorry, but we gotta call you out on this. And you're going to take the bullet on this because I'm on the show, and you're going right. to just suck it up right
that's
now.
It,
that's I'm going to call you.
Right.
Yes, he's
which
very
is something different.
Yeah,
usually
yeah,
you suck
yeah,
it up, but go
yeah,
ahead. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, we don't, in our house, you know, we're very thrifty, as he likes to say. We have budget meetings in the in the living room. We have whiteboards. I have to actually submit documentation. It's like living with the IRS. And but we don't do anything entertainment-wise. This is a company policy, unless it's on Groupon.
Yeah.
Groupon.
Right, right.
So for our anniversary last year, 9 years, 9 years I am hanging by thread there, and he surprised me. We went ziplining over Flushing because it was $14.95. And yeah. You haven't lived till you've gone over a CVS. It's quite the cultural experience. Yeah, it's great. He even on the way here, because he's, you know, he's like, all right, this Elf gig, it's gonna end. And by the way, it's minimum wage, and I never knew how minimum wage was.
Yeah.
But he said, he sent me a link, and he said, maybe Uber is hiring, and I stopped before I came here, and I called them, and I said, you hate the way I drive, and you know, aside from that, like, wouldn't you be just concerned, you know, a strange man coming into the back of the car? And he's like, are you kidding? The way that you drive, they'll be more scared than you. It's fine. It's totally it's fine.
So, Ellen Karras, the Greek goddess of comedy. You have a couple of podcasts out there, do you not?
Yeah, yeah. I'm now down to one. I have one podcast called Karras Comedy Corner. I love it. I actually do it at the Comic Strip.
Oh, you do?
They have a podcast studio there. I love radio. I've been up here before. I love what you guys do.
Yeah.
I love it. I think just radio is the best.
You love it, and you drive around and you go, I can do a better job than those guys.
No, I didn't say that. You guys are brilliant.
Let's be honest.
You're brilliant. Yeah. I love interviewing people. It's fun.
You
because it's like, yeah, because you get tired of talking about myself.
Are you a good interviewer?
I like to think I am.
Well,
I think I have
let's
one
go. Let's
little,
see how good you are. Okay, let's see. Go ahead.
Okay, what was your name again?
Son of a bitch. See this? That's called, if you like me, my name is Sid. If you don't, I'm Bernie. Okay?
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see how this goes.
So right now.
You're off to a
right
terrible now. Start. You said yeah. so 15 times already. Yeah.
Wait, let me do ums. Let me do 22 ums, like all the talk show hosts. Right. 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 Like, right. Like Jenna Bush on NBC. Anyway.
Just go, hey, listen here, stupid.
All right.
Go ahead.
So what do you think the future is of terrestrial radio now with all of the podcasts that there are at? I mean, do you think you guys are going to be able to survive in this environment?
The answer is yes. Hell yes.
Hey, but that's not a bad question.
Very good question.
You know why it's a good question, as Bernie is saying, to be honest, and you delivered it perfectly, by the way, is because people have been calling Ellen, the very funny Ellen Karras, for the demise of AM radio for a long time. And they're effing idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have all the XM Sirius you want, all the FM shows you want. I know less and less cars have AM dials in their cars these days. But we still demand some pretty big salaries. Millions of people still listen. So the answer to your question is, as long as there's talent like us out there willing to do these shows, AM will be fine.
Mm. And then people want to hear about local issues
that's right.
in their cars. You know, you don't get that in a podcast. You get some hashtag Me Too conversation,
right.
Which, by the way, we were talking about just a little bit earlier. And we were talking about holiday parties and women at these parties and how fraught with peril it is for guys at these parties. I don't know if you've experienced anything like that.
Well, I did go to the Wall Street holiday parties, you know, when I used to work on Wall Street.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's just, you know what? It's like you can't flirt anymore. I mean, you know, there's a lot of single people. How are we going to hook up? On Tinder? I mean,
we are regressing. We're becoming puritanical. We're becoming like the Muslims, for God's sake.
Right. Oh, gosh.
So you like it? If you go to a party, you would, even if you're married, you would like somebody to at least show some interest.
You want to have some.
Feel good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there certainly is a very defined line between just being flirty and being friendly and really grabbing, you know, someone's behind.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
So
yeah.
we are way, way too uptight about everything. And let me just say something also about the Me Too. Because Me Too covers, obviously, sexual harassment. And if you've been really violated, that is absolutely awful. But it's also about equal pay and equal opportunity and the show business, and it doesn't matter because, like I said, my career is wherever it is, is, you know, there's the entertainment industry is so hip, the hypocrisy of it all, because they pretend to be so liberal and opportunities. Meanwhile, as a stand-up comic, as a woman, it is 1962
all over again.
Best.
No doubt.
At best.
That's like I'm saying. We're
so
going backwards.
If there are three women on a show, it's an all-woman show. There are millions of shows that are just men. And I am not slamming male comics, because I wouldn't have a career if it weren't for male comics.
But
it's the entertainment industry. It's the bookers. It's the producers. They just can't get past it.
And Jews, too, by the way. Not just men, but the damn Jews. Right? Say it. Go ahead.
You're sick of it, aren't you?
Well, I sleep with one every night. So, you know, I just, you know, I still have to kiss up to them. You know what I'm saying?
Is he a real Jew? Like, do you guys...
Is he a real Jew?
I mean, does he celebrate Yom Kippur? Do you...
Is he circumcised?
Right, did you convert like Ivanka Trump?
Oh, no. I'm Greek Orthodox. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. Why did she do that? She didn't have to do that.
Well, Jared Kushner wanted her
I mean,
to do
and she went all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't just go like half, you know, Passover thing.
No,
he is a very weak Jew, I would say. And as a matter of fact...
You didn't sell out like Ivanka.
What? No. We're probably more Christian in our house than we are Jewish. Although I bought the menorah years ago because I like tradition. And so I we do the prayer. I think it's important to have something.
Yeah, you have kids. You have kids.
No, we don't. We don't. Right. But we have nieces and nephews.
But, right. You know what? Speaking of relatives, I opened the conversation greeting you with a Greek word, tikani, right? Which, by the way, I used to work for Greeks, and this guy, he was from Greece. And tell me, you must have relatives from Greek, and they speak pidgin English or whatever. But he would speak like this. He owned the deli. I worked there. He would tell kids, "Vrei, take your legs out of here before I'm gonna f u s." He would say that. He'd say, "Just to not bother my balls," instead of "Don't break my balls. Just don't bother my balls. I'm going to call your father up."
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yes, it's completely like that. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she would be like, "Oh, I have a pain in my gallbladder." You know what I mean? Like she just didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, she just thought like, "Well, that's the area there," or they'll definitely say something. They also put a lot of "y" at the end. You know what I mean? Like, why don't you go put this in the washing machine?"
Right.
You know, like that, you know, that, that kind of, and then that became a Greek word somehow. Yeah. So yeah, they definitely butcher it up. But it's hard because the alphabet is completely different. It's not like
Spanish. No, I know it's difficult. Yeah. But listen, I can't speak Greek. They can speak English. So all power to them. I'm not insulting.
You ever go back home? It's rough there. Now, not the islands, but like Athens. It's the economy is a disaster. I know homeless is worse than Penn Station. Have you gone back to the homeland?
I went a few years ago. A lot of graffiti, which was
really?
very sad. And look, whatever. And again, I'm just going to say,
must be the Americans that moved there.
No, socialism doesn't work. I mean, that is been the policy. And they had something in that country called the Fakilaki system.
Oh, did you just curse?
No, I didn't. You don't have to bleep it. You don't have to bleep it. I know it sounds like it, right? It's an envelope, and it was the envelope system. Everything's under the table, off the books, under the table.
Right.
So there was a lot of those envelopes. That's what Fakilaki is, an envelope.
Right, gotcha. Don't say it again. I'm begging
you. Sorry.
That's funny. And people were retiring at like 48 years old.
And it just doesn't. It's unfortunate, you know. And it's interesting because the Greeks that have come here, like all my grandparents came through Ellis Island, a process documented, had a report back in, how to have a sponsor. What a concept.
Yeah, how refreshing.
Right, exactly. And they, so the ones that come here are very, very hardworking.
Sure.
You know, the work ethic is really, really intense.
Yeah. True.
But somehow their country fell apart. And it's the government's corrupt.
You're very corrupt. We got to wrap it up with this, and you're brilliant and funny, and we happen to love you on this show. Would you be willing to perform Conolingus on Lisa Lampanelli to get your own Netflix special?
Oh, of course.
That's it. Say no more.
Are you kidding?
Ellen Karras, the Greek goddess of comedy. She's a good friend of ours, by the way.
I have she's great. She's great. And I love her because she doesn't care. And I like I don't care. I do have a DVD and a CD on my website, ellenkarras.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered 1,000 of them. I only have 993 left. So you may want to get one. And I think I got an order today from a guy named Ned because he loved me and my cousin Vinny. I look like Joe Pesci, by the way, not Marissa Tomei.
That's funny.
Merry Christmas. Yes. Happy
Christmas,
Greek on New Year
thank
and all that good
so
stuff.
Much.
We'll bring
thank
you back
you.
Again. You're
oh,
wonderful.
Kronia Polak.
Kalinikta.
Kalinikta. Good night.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's Ellen Karras, everybody. We'll come back with more from Bernie and Sid, plus Anthony Scaramucci. We're coming right back.
Juliet, the bad news, Justin Timberlake canceled the remainder of his Man of the Woods tour. The good news, he's announced the makeup shows. The pop superstar was forced to cancel his first show, which happened to be right here downstairs at the Garden in October. He's been dealing, as you probably have heard by now, with bruised vocal cords. The rescheduled shows here in our area include the Garden show, which is now scheduled for January 31st, excuse me, which is a Thursday. Also, two shows at Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut. Those are now Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. And Kiki is getting kinky. Tiki is getting kinky, sorry. Well, Kiki too, maybe, but I don't know her. Tiki Barber, Giants star-turned-TV host, is reinventing himself yet again. The 43-year-old will be making his Broadway debut in kinky boots. He replaces Daniel Stewart Sherman, who's taking off to do another show. Tiki's run in kinky boots starts January 21st, and it runs through March 3rd, at which time his predecessor returns to finish up the season. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Yeah, thanks, Jules. I think April 7th, it's all over for Kinky Boots. It's Tiki Barber. Way to go, Teak, the great number 21, who was the best running back in the history of the Giant organization until Saquon Barkley came along. Anyway, we're going to replay the Anthony Scaramucci interview, which we did in the 6 a.m. hour earlier this morning. It was so good. We'll get that going for you in a couple of minutes. What happened?
No, I'm just showing my enthusiasm for the Anthony Scaramucci.
It was a very good conversation.
Yes, it was. And very insightful and revealing.
Everything from the Mets to the White House chief of staff to Schumer and Pelosi and all that. Now, who's on tomorrow, by the way, Joe?
Tomorrow we have John Batchelor in studio.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Bill O'Reilly.
Big
oh, wow.
Bill. Two very smart guys.
Yeah.
John Batchelor and Bill O'Reilly. Those are two very smart guys.
And tall. Smart and tall.
You're right about that. They are both very, very tall guys. Very tall guys.
And witty.
Are you watching the, I forget if it's a Wonderful or Amazing Miss Maisel on, talking to Jill here, obviously.
No, but I heard good things about it. Should I start watching?
Yeah.
You liked it? Isn't it a girly show?
Yeah, that's funny you say that. Not really, but Danielle loves it. By the way, it wins every award
it's
every year.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Correct. Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime, which, and Bernie, you remember this, when we interviewed, what's his name? He wore the blood around his neck from
Billy Bob.
His show, which is really good.
Yeah.
Two seasons in, it's a very good show about the lawyer. That's on Amazon Prime, too. It's not Netflix. This Mrs. Maisel show, Miss Maisel, is on, you're right, Amazon Prime, not Netflix. Danielle loves it. I like it.
What is it about?
It's about a
look it up.
A Jewish family, okay?
Oh, I'll watch it.
Tony Shalhoub plays the father, and he's great. You may remember him in Monk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who could forget?
He actually won a lot of awards for that. So it's the 50s maybe. And she's a comedian, believe it or not. Ooh. Her husband is a comedian, and she would write all his material. And it didn't work out for him. And she's like, well, wait a second. If I'm writing all his jokes, why don't I just do them? And it turns out she's actually pretty good.
She's funnier.
Right, so you can imagine this very, kind of well-to-do, very conservative, dressed, buttoned to the top of your neck, blah, 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 but then going into a club and doing jokes, dirty jokes.
And there were no comedians back then, right? Women comedians?
Very few.
Yeah.
If any.
Was Joan Rivers doing
it? No, too early.
This was before Joan.
Wow.
Yeah. So she and the father is Tony Shalhoub, and the mother, and there's about five or six characters. The
Lucille Ball, I guess, was
the
only
good.
She was the only very female comedian.
Very good. And you know, it's a time thing. You know,
time piece.
The way they dress, yes, and all that stuff really works out well. And it's very, very witty and very, very smart. And you would like it.
Two thumbs up from Sid Rosenberg.
Well, I give it a thumb and a half. Daniel gives it five thumbs up. But I've never steered you wrong yet.
So far, everything you've recommended, I've liked.
Loved it, right?
Two boners up.
There you go.
Two boners up.
Check it out. So later on tonight when you're home, and are you watching anything right now?
I watch, you know, what's on, like, the Goldbergs and...
No, but I mean on, like, Netflix or Amazon. You're in the middle. Okay, so.
No.
Did you watch Peaky Blinders?
You know, I didn't like it.
Really?
The first episode, I don't know. It seemed just very historic.
You got to stick with it. I know it's not America, so stick with it.
Buy and hold, girlfriend. What? Come on. It's an old concept.
Yeah. Huh?
What happened?
The hell are you talking about?
Layaway?
When you buy a stock, if it goes down a little bit, you don't sell it right away. You hold. Buy and hold.
Oh, that's smart. Okay.
Thank you.
And that works perfectly here. You're exactly right. Buy and hold.
That's what I'm saying.
Give it a little time. I also didn't love it right away because I like stuff that's American.
Yeah.
I'm the ugly American, man.
Wait, it has subtitles, right?
No. I would never watch anything with subtitles.
Yeah, that gives me a headache.
Oh, stupid. You know what's great about that? And people, like people live in my community, for example, Upper West Side, they will love a movie, even if it sucks, because it has subtitles.
My mom's like that.
Yeah. That makes it really smart.
It makes them think they're intelligent.
Very.
Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
What about people who watch TV with the closed caption thing on so they could read the titles?
Who does that?
I mean. People I know.
Really? Deaf people, I guess, do that, though. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's people, regular people.
Closed caption, I think it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's with titles. You have to read while you're watching.
It's for the handicapped.
It is for deaf people.
No, Vic does it.
Well, he's handicapped.
Well, listen, he married you.
He's one step away from death.
Great.
On a serious note, do you remember one movie you watched that had subtitles that you enjoyed?
Yes, there is one French movie, and it was translated into. It was made into an American movie. I can't think of the name of it. It involved cars. Guy got killed at the end. There's one. It was very good.
And it was subtitled.
And if we weren't playing music and on our way out, I would actually Google it right now.
All right,
you would know it if I said the name.
But there's only one. I mean, the point is
that... That's it. There's no subtitles. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, the good news is with Anthony Scaramucci coming up next, no subtitles. The audio's right there for you.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to love it. We'll talk to Mooch right after this. So today, folks, is day 3 of the 4 days of winter meetings at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, for baseball. And if you're paying any attention to it, I think most of you guys are, and this is right up Scaramucci's alley. He's going to join us momentarily. He'll talk about Pelosi and Schumer and all that good stuff. But there's this rumor, which is never going to happen, that involves a trade where the Mets would get Marlins catcher JT Realmuto. The Yankees would get Mets starter Noah Syndergaard. And the Marlins would get somebody. I don't know, but...
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. It compelled me to put a tweet up yesterday, at Sid Rosenberg and at Bernie and Sid. And it says, I'd love to see Realmuto with the Mets, but there's no way I'm trading Noah Syndergaard. In fact, I'm not trading Thor for any player. I want him and DeGrom at the top of our rotation. Would you trade Syndergaard? I can tell you, Bernie, hundreds and hundreds of people voted on this online. And 52% said they would not trade Syndergaard for anyone. Now, Mooch, of course, is part owner of the Mets. Him and his lovely wife, Deirdre, did a great interview with David Wright on the podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
It was really good, Bern, really good.
The podcast, which is called?
Mr. and Mrs. The Mooch and the Mrs.
That's right.
The Mooch and the Mrs. So before we get to Pelosi and Schumer and Chief of Staff, all that good stuff, we'll go right to the source. Anthony Scaramucci, first of all, good morning. And secondly, is there any way you want to see Brody Van Wagenen trade Noah Syndergaard?
Well, first of all, it's great to be back on the show. I've been eating my way across the Caribbean, so I'm a lot larger. I came back a lot bigger of a person, unfortunately. But here's what I would say. I get in trouble with the Mets because I own a tiny sliver, and they don't like when they're – people that own tiny slivers comment, but I am a sports enthusiast and a big fan, so I'm going to comment anyway. Okay, I don't know the situation as it relates to each player in the Mets' eyes, their longevity. But I'd like to see Noah stay on the team because he's a great player. And I think if you're going to get to the World Series, and I do admire the new GM, I think he's making bold risk-taking moves. And so for me, guys, I love taking risk. And I think he's got, you know, good pitching. So he's looking at that saying, okay, if I get a closer and a couple of bats, I might be able to get this team into the playoffs and push it to the World Series. So, but I think you need a guy like Syndergaard, you know. And by the way, you have to remember, you know, that is a dead field for some reason. You bring players in there, very hard to hit home runs, very hard to get your average up. It's not like you're playing at the stadium in Colorado, you know, when the Rockies play. And so for me, you need pitching in a field like that at Citi Field.
Anthony Scaramucci on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC Radio. Anthony, it is good to have you back. And, of course, the big news down from Washington, D.C. is a man you've had your problems with, John Kelly. He's on his way out, the White House chief of staff. And just looking forward, is there any possibility that Anthony Scaramucci would fill his shoes in that position?
Well, okay, so Sid, I think, knows my wife better than you do, Bernd, okay? If I don't want to get castrated, let's say, you know, partially castrated, which would be worse for any Italian-American that you know, you know, I have to answer no to that, you know, but I don't think the president would ask me to do that job. I, in fact, in my self-evaluation, I'm not a politician, and I don't have those nasty political skills, okay? You see the way these guys operate. They're coming into the White House. They're trying to pin him. This is how Trump shrunk down and blah, 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 and all this sort of nonsense that the American people are so tired of. I think he needs a political operator. If he doesn't hire a political operator, he better hire an A-plus player that hires A-plus-plus players. You know, one of the problems with Priebus, he was like a C player hiring D players. Mm. I don't want to say much more about John Kelly because – you know, I don't want to dance on anybody's grave. You know, the guy was a military, 40 years in the military. God bless his service. Just, as I said to you guys 6 months ago, he didn't have the right personality for that job working with that president. So for me, it was a talent assessment and a talent evaluation. You know, which frankly, I built two reasonably successful companies. I have a pretty good eye for what works and how personalities can work together and what doesn't.
Deirdre would kill you, though. There's no question about it. You started right there, Anthony. You nailed it. The great Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh, there's no question. Oh, you know, yeah. Boar's Head cold cuts. Okay? The first place you would go is to the Manhasset Deli and steal their bologna slicer.
Let them hang from the window.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no question.
Right, but some of these names that he is talking about, Mark Meadows, he really, really likes him out of North Carolina, former campaign advisor, now a guy touring the country with Corey Lewandowski, talking about David Bossy. His name has been mentioned. Robert Lighthizer has been mentioned. And, of course, one of our favorites out of New Jersey, Chris Christie. You think one of these four get in, or you think there's a secret name out there, a wild card that may shock all of us?
Well, did you mention Randy Levine? Have you seen his name up in the up in the rafters there?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Anthony, because only on day five, when Bernie and I took over for Imus back in April, day five of our morning show, we, in fact, had the president himself, Donald Trump, on this show. And I asked him if he had two tickets for a Met game in Queens or a Yankee game in the Bronx on the same day, which game would he go to? And when I asked him that, he actually brought up the name Randy Levine. Take a listen. This is Donald Trump on our show back in April.
It's opening day in New York. The weather's lousy. It's still going. But you've got tickets, box seats, to both the Mets and the Yankees. Where does Donald Trump end up, in the Bronx or in Queens?
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble, but I think both teams, because, you know, I know even the players, okay, in a lot of cases, because, you know, I'm a baseball fan, and I like both teams. Randy is so great. Will Pons are really good people, and so don't put me in that position,
You can stop the question. Yeah. He said Randy is so great. You heard that, Mooch.
Yeah. No, he loves Randy. You know, look, you know, the week before I started in my comms job, Randy was down there. He was in the Oval Office. I was over at the XM Bank, and Randy and I called each other. Here's the thing the president needs. The president needs a guy from New York or a New York-style guy that will recognize and yield to him that he's the boss, and but will also say, hey, you know, let's really look at this thing clinically, objectively, not be a sycophant, guys. You know, everyone dismissed Nomer that Trump likes sycophants or President Trump likes sycophants. Not true. He just doesn't want you to rule over him. He wants you to recognize that he's the boss. You know, I two chiefs of staff, they either felt superior to him in one case or felt they had a better reputation to him and all that other nonsense. He's president of the United States. He won the job, prosecute his agenda, hire people loyal to him, not to you or to your establishment agenda.
Right. Listen, Anthony Scaramucci, let's segue over to the Oval Office or wherever that was. Where was that? In the
Oval Office.
The Oval Office?
Yeah, no, yes. I had him in the Oval Office.
Okay, you had crying Chuck.
You told me Randy got that job. It would settle down the president. You know, but I think Randy's got a great life. You know, he's sitting in Hal Steinbrenner's box, and he's probably going to go to the World Series this year. So
right.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Call Randy and say, please, if you take that job, see if you can get Mooch the president of the Yankees.
Okay? Let's move on, Anthony.
Right, I'll give them Syndergaard for that. How's that?
I like that part. Keep Syndergaard, right, that's for
that,
sure.
My fellow Met fans, I take that back, okay? I've had 50 years of pain with you. I'm just making a joke.
Keep Thor.
I like pain.
So here we go. Yeah. We had Tipsy Pelosi and the crying Chuck in the Oval Office yesterday. And what I saw, and of course I'm biased, I saw a couple of weasels who were very uncomfortable and shifty being on camera talking about some serious business. A couple of guys body language. They were for the wall and they were for secure borders 10 years ago. And now you have this radical left-wing part of the party that they're deathly afraid of. They're crapping their pants over this part of the party. So they don't really want a secure border. They really don't. And anyway, I thought that he was good. He performed well. And they did not acquit themselves very well. What did Anthony Scaramucci see?
Well, I mean, I saw a number of different things there. You know, the first thing I would say is that, you know, he's going to shut down the government because I know the guy's personality. So it'll be a partial government shutdown. Kevin McCarthy said that a few pieces that have been funded, so things will go okay. But it'll put a lot more pain on the Democrats than it will on the Republicans. And I think
it will.
What they're missing... I think so, and because I think what they're missing is that the border is helping the economy, and the border is helping lower and middle class people with their wages. The president's tightening of the border and the reduction of the illegal immigration has caused the tightening, took all the slack out of the African American and Hispanic American labor markets, made them the lowest in recorded history, and you've seen a wage boost for the bottom 10% of our country, and that's a result of what's going on at the border, as well as stronger economy. And so I think they're making a very big mistake there. But this is what these guys do. The Democrats have decided that blue-collar people now are deplorable, and they're white, ethnocentric, racist, and nationalist, and all of this other stuff. And I know the dolphin's choking on the plastic straw, and I feel bad about that, but you guys should probably go back to your base and focus on these people that we grew up with, fellas. And stop talking to them like that and recognize that we've got to tighten up that border. If you're going to run a welfare state, which the United States does, tighten the border. Otherwise, free market forces dictate people are going to run across the border.
Yeah, fair enough. Missed you, buddy. It's great to have you back.
I'm very happy to be back.
getting lipo
right now. And I don't need a lot of bronzer, though, because I just got back from the Caribbean. And I'm getting lipo right now.
Well, it's good to have you back, Anthony. You're great as always, right. A wonderful guest and a good friend. Thank you so much.
And no regrets.
All right, God bless.
All right, take care. The great Anthony Scaramucci, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Some of you calling in want to talk about this thing yesterday. You know where we're coming from. Bernie thinks the president acquitted himself well. I don't. I think both sides looked awful. I can't stand Schumer and Pelosi. I'm not going to side with them. But I also thought Donald Trump came off as a petulant baby, and nobody wins yesterday. And if he shuts down the government, certainly nobody wins. So that's our opinion. We'll take your phone calls right after these.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.